Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we got going on? We got the, first we got the phone number, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Oh, let's see. I'll start in reverse order. Jason Reitman's coming in here, son of Ivan Reitman. Thank You for Smoking. This is the latest movie. Maybe it's his first movie.
First picture.
Very first.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he hadn't done any.
He may have been involved, but I think it's the first one he directed.
So jealous because, you know, nepotism is great because it's good for everybody. It's good for the person whose dad or mom or whoever showed him the front door to some lucrative business and they're rich now. And it's good for us, the public, because we say, well, look, if my daddy ran show business, then I could be doing that too. Mm-hmm. But he's being acclaimed as doing a great job, probably getting more praise than his dad, Dad Ivan got in his last, I don't know, four or five movies for this movie, mm-hmm. his first movie.
That's right, yeah.
No one's making any real connections to his dad.
What sort of nepotism has opened doors for you throughout your life?
Well, you know, there's my dad's great love of playing the flugelhorn on the weekends. So you do the math.
From his, you can get into any recital in
crappy
town.
Crappy North Hollywood apartement. I'm generally, it's a universal key that unlocks many doors.
Dad sitting around. School and
yeah,
town.
Dad sitting around playing the flugelhorn while his young son kicked around a football with no threads in it on the front lawn alone. It's a great image. Danny Bonaducci from Breaking Bonaducci is coming in.
Awesome.
Not as, you know, these guys, the guys that seem to be crazed are much saner in person.
Yeah, but he's normally on the steroids, right?
He was on something. He was on everything, evidently. And now I don't know what he's on. And then there's the part where, you know, according to Dr. Drew, if you're putting anything in you, you're not sober. And then there's the other part where the people say, well, I had a problem with crack cocaine, and now I'm sober from crack cocaine, but I'm still drinking and shooting the juice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Slippery slope.
Slippery slope. Most folks in the healthcare field would argue, especially addiction medicine, would argue you're either sober or you're not. Doesn't matter what your drug of choice is, even if you're not doing that particular drug. But we'll find out. Last time I met Danny, he was sober, but that was during a filming of The Partridge Family. I was 9. I was invited to the set. They found out my dad was the one who played the flugelhorn. They immediately ushered me in.
I always wondered? Isn't he a sex addict too? Like, what do you do?
We're going to find out, aren't we, Rachel?
I hope so.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do? Alcoholics, crack addicts, like, I get it. You can do the 12 steps and you get that stuff out of your life, you know, mm-hmm. if you work really hard at it.
Right.
Sex and food. Yeah. If you're addicted to either of those, what do you do?
Hard to go cold turkey completely, especially when you're married and that kind of stuff. You have a woman, naked woman sleeping next to you every night. Well, I think addiction in general, at least as I understand it, you can get under control with the food. And I mean, many of the same rules apply that they do to booze and drugs when it comes to sexual addiction. As a matter of fact, according to my old partner, Dr. Drew, you either have the alcoholic gene or you don't. And as we've discussed before, that alcoholic gene it's a blanket that covers everything. It covers thrill seeking and gambling and sex addiction. It's just addiction. Essentially. Yeah. And you can work on addiction the same way you're working on crack as you do on coke, or saying coke, crack, or sex. But obviously, you still have to engage in sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sex and food are probably the same.
I'm a sex addict. I can't stop myself. I wish I could, but I can't. Seems like one of the most spectacular cases of hooey I've ever heard in my life. What a great thing. I wish I could. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, my wife. I wish I could stop, but I can't. It's out of my hands.
Well, look at Mike August, the man's practically addicted to internet porn.
Our booker,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It must produce some sort of endorphins and chemical high, natural chemical high. high that you get from looking at that stuff. So it's,
well, I don't,
you know.
I wouldn't know because I'm not addicted to sex, although I have been accused of using sex as a weapon. Yes. Oh, yes.
A sexual predator.
You'll both feel my wrath one day.
But I think that you could, but that's what we should do. These people who are convinced themselves they're sex addicts and go to these group classes, we should send Mike August there because those women, yeah, he should be able to score there, right?
One would think. Yeah, I'll tell you the best place to score is to go to the West Hollywood CA, the Cocaine Anonymous meeting. Plenty of young hotties over there trying to kick, looking for a father figure. Yeah, I don't, you think to yourself, it's very easy just to slide into an abyss these days. I mean, there was a day not too long ago where you didn't have a computer at home that had an ISDN line that streamed porn, you know, 7 million gigabytes every second. You didn't have all the processed food. McDonald's burgers weren't, you know, McDonald's weren't open 24 hours with a drive-thru and $1.50 worth of change from your ashtray could feed you for the night. I mean, there was just a time when you had to get up, the sun came up, and you had to go out. And if you stayed in, you would just die. Not only was there nothing going on in there, you'd just be sitting there masturbating by lantern until that got burnt out. But you'd have to go out and pump water and stuff like that. I mean, there's a certain, there's an interesting thing, and I always think about it, which is, are we moving too fast? Are we not evolving as fast as we're moving technologically? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
These environments we're setting up for ourselves. I mean, there just was a time when nature said, you'll have to get up, you'll have to go find food, you have to go pump water, you have to go do all these things. There's no cyber anything, there's no simulated anything, there's no turkey pastrami, there's only pastrami. There's no turkey anything, we eat it once a year. That's it. No, everything has to be what it is, there's no tofu version of this, and there's no synthetic that. You'll have to get up and get out. Now, it's pretty easy, actually. Little lawsuit at work. Get a few bucks coming your way. Little stipend coming every month. Little TiVo, little internet porn. The Meals on Wheels van swings by the apartment a couple times a week. Now we're all Howard Hughes. I mean, we could all be Howard Hughes.
But isn't that the goal?
Isn't that
everybody's goal? Everyone's like, hey, if only I could suck.
It's my goal.
Own,
yes.
You know, and
I'm home right now and I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
That's right. This conversation's not even taking place.
Where am I?
You're just part of my dream and you're trying to throw me off right now.
Oh, at least
I'm not
going to
listen.
Dream.
I'm not listening.
Hey, Adam.
Now,
what's
this is what you would
on?
Do if you were trying to wake me up. It's not going to work. Yes, this is what we will have one day.
We all dream about working from home. And
yes, I mean, I want to work from my bed like John and Yoko.
Nobody wants to leave their house. No. Nobody wants to run into other human beings.
That's my point, unless they're other humans that we've constructed. You know what I mean? Beautiful skin.
Genetically engineered pals. That's what I need.
Yeah, not squatty people with big calves who are dangerous, but long, beautiful people with bosomy.
Yes.
All right. I don't know where we're going with this. Here's my point. It's all going to be over soon anyway. The ozone's depleted and all that stuff. I got twins on the way, and I'm not one of these people who worries about the environment, the life, or the world I'm going to leave to my children. They can fend for themselves. They're big boys. I mean, they're not born yet, but they're, you know.
So no nepotism.
And one of them's a girl.
No. They're big boys and girls. Well, I will play the flugelhorn while one of them kicks the ball around the front yard. Whatever that does. Whatever doors that opens. Whatever that opens, so be it. All right.
Who else is coming in?
Look at that. George Wendt is coming in. I think that's where we left off. Norm's coming in. Also, the human piercing record holder, formerly held by Dave Damashek, now Matt Robinson of Ottawa. He's pierced himself 1,016 times in 14 hours. Big Tad has a little date recap. I guess he was out last night. And now we get to the good stuff. Hooters has set us up with a punch machine. Now, this is an arcade machine. I don't think I've seen it, or maybe I have. It's kind of cool. It's no cheapie. You know, that's the whole thing with arcade machines. There's pinball machines, and then there's pinball machines, and there's pool tables, and then there's pool tables. There's pool tables that are $179 and have folding legs on them, and then there's pool tables that are $30,000 and are hand-carved walnut and are slate and all that kind of stuff. This is the $30,000 version of the pool table, mm-hmm. although it's a punching machine. This is a pinball machine extraordinaire. This thing is $6,000. Yes, Bresca?
That's correct.
It was given to us, or at least lent to us by Hooters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hooters paid for it.
They paid for it.
They're terrific.
Sweet. Yeah, and like I said, there's nothing less satisfying than messing with one of these sort of FACO machines. You know, you hit it one time and it says, oh, 800 pounds. And then you hit it the next time and it's 63 pounds. And then you hit another time, it's 11 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's all over the map. Or some crappy Papa shot or something that's falling apart. This thing is heavy duty. God bless Hooters. It's a nice machine. Now basically what it is you stand at it. There's what looks like a speed bag hanging down. The bu-ba-da-bu-ba-da-bu-ba-da bag. So about the size, a medium, large size one of those. The size of a medium-sized pumpkin that just sort of hangs down from the top of this arm. The arm just, thank you. Wow. Hearing that, my dream. It's amazing. Still not going to wake up, though. Now I'm urinating. Still not going to wake up. All right, this thing hangs down from this machine.
If you and your dream do it with Bruska.
He's next. I already finished him, actually.
Oh, no.
I got him by 4:45 this morning. maybe going for a second round, though. This thing, this bag, this speed bag, hangs down about 2 feet from the top of the machine. It's on an arm that folds up. You punch it as hard as you can, and the thing just collapses backward and goes up, and then we see the digital readout, and that tells you how many pounds you hit it with. Now, everyone is about the same, or at least within 75 pounds or so.
Well, not me.
Well, not Rachel, but
yeah,
I mean all
zero,
the guys.
0 to 999, no one's gotten really above 695, actually, but that was someone with a running start.
Oh, yeah. So, nobody here's done a standing one over 575 or something like that. All right, so Bruska, you're going to go first. And then Damashek's going to go, and we're going to see what we get, right?
Yeah, Damashek and I were practicing a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're pretty close.
I practiced nothing.
Oh, come on.
It looks like Bruska's got his wallet out.
So we're pretty
rough
close.
Talk.
Bruska's got
but
his
I'm
wallet.
Willing to throw down $20.
$20.
I got a bum back.
All right, come on. Don't start making excuses.
A bum back.
You get beat by a lesbian. You got to answer to me. I'll tell you that right now.
A lesbian dressed in his Garanimal outfit today. This will be a great shame for me.
All right, now I brought some boxing gloves, but we're not going to put those on? Nah, it doesn't need them. Too much man. All right, you get one shot.
Oh, my God. What is that stance Bruska is taking?
He's poised himself in front of the machine.
He looks like a sumo. Don't let him psych you out. Don't let him psych you out. You do what you do,
Keep your feet planted,
to
creep.
Bruska,
you
have to punch out because he's 5 feet tall.
You do what you do.
Ooh, fell forward. I think he got all of that one.
I missed it.
I don't know, 480.
I missed it. Did you practice earlier?
482.
That's a terrible shot.
482.
You got to hit it right on the X on the bag.
482. Is there an X?
Well, it's, yeah, like right in the center of the bag, really.
You got to hit it right in the center. All right. Again, it just looks like a speed bag hanging down about 2 feet. You whack it and it slides back. Wow. He says he missed it. Now, what do we got? 482?
Yeah. Who's the lesbian now?
293. Well, here's.
I've never been so ashamed.
What a girl. Let me explain something about.
That's not true.
Let me explain something about this, this punching machine here. It's sort of like driving, going for the longest shot off the tee. Sometimes when you rear back and you really say, I'm going to crush this ball, you shank it a little bit. You give up. You try to put a little more power into it, but you give up a little accuracy, and your technique goes a little south, and you miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you catch it just sweet, and if you catch it just right with that huge swing, it'll go through the roof.
I did
and you
it
get
yesterday
a 300
with the
yard
glove
drive.
On, I did 550.
Right.
And now when it counts, I choke.
293.
293, like some sort of sissy.
Well, maybe your muse, Jonathan, cheats you.
You owe me $20.
We'll help you. All right, $20 goes that way.
All right,
you all right?
So be it.
Elbow hyperextended?
No, the elbow hurts too. It as a fringe benefit now.
All right, we will continue the competition. We'll have Brian phone screener in here. Big Tad will be in here. We'll have Rachel give that thing a whack. We're going to have Mike Lynch. He's going up against a mop. We're just gonna tip a mop over. We'll stand the mop up straight and we'll let it go and it'll let it fall against it. Whatever it registers.
The mop beat me yesterday.
I know, but I'm saying it's payback's a bitch.
I know, it's a rematch. You're gonna get that mop.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Recap Tad's date after this.
Big Fat Tad is going on a date, so I've got some advice for that arrogant dame. You should heed these words for a future sex romp. If you're gonna get it on, you better be on top. 'Cause he will crush you.
Yes, most definitely.
He will crush you.
Sorry.
He will crush you.
Yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Big Tad.
Really?
In the studio. Yeah.
Nice, Rich. Thanks, buddy.
Big Tad went on a date last night.
Yeah, I did. What?
Now, this is the second date with... Is this Erica?
Yes.
Oh.
And you guys met where?
At the Sharky's down in Huntington Beach.
What's Sharky's? Right.
It's a bar. Oh, bar, yeah? Restaurant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She cute?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Not as cute as you, though. But.
What'd you do? What'd you do last night?
Well, we went out. The date started late. We went to sushi down by my house.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little all-you-can-eat sushi.
Oh.
Shrewd. Yeah, that's a class move. What? Chicks dig the all-you-can-eat.
She was hungry.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. When you're going out with a chick and she is hungry, let her order off the menu.
She was hungry.
She did order off. She ordered everything. I didn't order anything.
I know, but the all you can eat part makes it seem cheap.
It's an expensive all you can eat sushi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went all out on this thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think that's bad. I think it sounds fun. All you can. Hey, let's go to the all you can eat sushi. Okay.
Well, here's what I want to say.
I
think it's fun. You know, there's certain things you can do after the hook is set. You know what I mean? It's like, it's sort of like a job interview. It's like your first week at work, you can't screw around with the boss too much. You know, you can't throw him a football and yell think fast and have him turn around and hit him in the chest with it. You know what I mean? Later on, when you guys get chummy, you can do these things.
I don't know. I think Tad, I mean, it's not like he took her to all you can eat, like, Chinese buffet. It was it's cool. And also, I think it's better that Tad just be Tad with this chick. You know what I mean? This
all
is
right.
Me.
I would argue that when you're morbidly obese, the all-you-can-eat dates, though, seem like a bad precedent. But let's continue.
Well,
How much did it cost? How much is it for all-you-can-eat sushi?
It was probably $50.
One person.
No, well then, you know, 25.
Yeah. Oh,
you see what I'm saying? Where Rachel goes, the guy spits on half a California roll for $25.
Hi, guys, remember?
He wipes his ass with Orange a County. Piece of eel and Orange. He throws it at you for $25.
And sad news, the restaurant is now shut down. It's been
true.
Bankrupted.
I would be a little afraid to eat all-you-can-eat sushi just for
out of business.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not as romantic as you're making it out to.
But,
you thinking they're having... All you can eat sushi over at
Nozawa
or something. Yeah,
rockin' sushi.
Right. Yeah, $400 all you can eat sushi.
That wasn't all you can eat sushi. That was SeaWorld.
Right. That's right. He broke into SeaWorld.
Bring it on, man. I'm gonna hit that punch. No, I'm hitting the punch.
Shamu's floating.
I'm just
all right. So
it sounds like fun. Did you have fun?
Yes, we did. It was great. It's one of the most popular places in downtown Fullerton on Thursday because it's
wow.
I love that description.
Hey, Orange County.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of artists
out
there. It's a real cradle of creativity, downtown Fullerton. Erica?
Yes, I'm here.
How was the sushi?
Oh, it was wonderful. I'm still full.
All right, still full.
Yeah.
And you went to the sushi place, and then what after? What happened?
We actually met up with a friend of his and his friend's girlfriend, and the four of us hung out and had some drinks afterwards downtown Fullerton and listened to some great renditions of Neil Diamond.
Mm-hmm. What, karaoke?
No. Tad, what was it? It was.
I have no idea. After the first we started off at Chomps with sake shooters, and then did some beer, did the sushi, and then we had the drinks over there, and I couldn't even tell who the hell was up on stage.
Yeah, I had to tell him.
It was a professional performer.
He was like a mix of Tom Jones / Neil Diamond. That's what he looked like.
Right, but he was being paid to sing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And why did you hook up with your friends?
Because, I wanted to meet a couple of my friends, and my friend called, and he said he was coming down to downtown Fullerton, and we were planning on doing something. I was going to take her to one of the bars down in downtown Fullerton, too, but...
I'm not sure about the strategy about introducing her to the pals so early. Shouldn't you just be out on a date with her, second date and all?
There was no problem with it,
No, I know, but don't you want to be one-on-one?
Yeah.
Later, not right now.
All right, so what happened then? So you hung out with the pals, you listened to Neil Diamond, and then what? How did the date end?
Well, then we decided I had to give him a piggyback ride back to my car, basically.
Stout.
We went back to his place, hung out for a while.
My mom's place.
Yeah, when he says his place, you mean the fort behind his mom's place? Because once you're inside, you're in his mom's place.
Yeah.
His place is the refrigerator box that's half buried in the backyard of his mom's place.
How dare you?
Well. It's fort. No girls allowed, but he made an exception.
I don't know.
He lifted the cootie band just this one time.
He blindfolded me on the way in, so I knew I was in a room.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. So we hung out for a while, and then it was pretty late.
Now, hold on a second. Now, how does this work where you guys head back to the Newcomb estate? You go in there. Now, I imagine it's not a huge house. 1,800 square feet? 2,000 square feet? Dad, what do you got?
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
It was a decent size, but you have to think
If it can house Tad, it must be pretty goddamn big.
I was going to say not that, insulting version of that. Using my fish tank theorem, allowing Tad to get this big, it must be a palace. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's grand.
Keep going. All right, point is, as you go in there, now everybody in the Newcomb family lives under one roof, right?
Yes.
Grandma, mom, aunts and uncles.
Dog.
Are they asleep at this point?
Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Except for
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's about 2. Yeah, we closed down the bar. We did last call.
Wow. You must be in love, Tad, because you're amazingly chipper, although I'm sure you'll hit the wall about 7:10, and that'll be the end of you. So 2 in the morning now, you guys are back in the Tad estate.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone's asleep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now where are you guys? In the living room?
No, we're in my bedroom.
You go back to your bedroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why? I mean, how did that work?
Well, it just followed me.
Followed you into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Now you both are a little bit tipsy.
Yes.
No, I was driving.
You were driving, all right.
But you were tipsy, though.
Okay, a little bit.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Little something. And now you're in the bedroom, and what happens?
And we started, we put some music on. We have the same taste in music, so we were just chit-chatting and...
Some Mario Speedwagon.
Mm-hmm. So, some more hair bands. Anyway.
Right. And what happens?
And, well,
did you kiss him?
Yes.
Who initiated it?
I think it was both of us. We there was a few kisses between the dinner at the big red circular booth at this Neil Diamond lookalike bar.
So,
and
so you guys kissed and you used tongues, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, he kept showing that off, by the way. Tad, I don't know if that was a...
showing the tongue off.
Hey, I was proud of her in that tongue, man. I showed my friends. I was showing the people at Chomps.
She's got a giant tongue, yes.
Yeah.
He's showing the Asian.
Oh, that's right. Oh, proud of her tongue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But so, yes, there was definitely. And he was a gentleman the whole night. So it just happened that way. It fell into place.
All right, so you made out. What base did Tad get to? What base were you dragged to? First base?
No, it was a really good makeout, maybe a little bit more, but that
bosoms.
That
was
that. Little bosom. You felt Tad's bosom?
I
you sly dog, she
arm.
Reached back, undid Tad's bra. One hand. No struggling.
That wouldn't be the first
time. I remember the first time me and Tad did it, I didn't know the hasp was in the front. The clasp was
clumsy.
Yeah, it's clumsy feeling around. Very awkward.
I had to tell him it's in the front.
Real summer 49 stuff,
Right. No, all right. It was great. I fell asleep in his arms. And
wow.
Mm-hmm.
And woke, wait.
And then I woke up at what was it, 4:15?
I fell asleep
ready?
In his chins the first time. I slept over.
Yeah, we woke up about 4:30.
About 4:30.
You guys give him a hard time, but he is quite the gentleman.
Wow.
And
all right,
a
so
night.
a third date, perhaps?
A third date is definitely in order, I hope.
When
I
don't
know.
I hope it will be.
Keep your fingers crossed. Let's see Tad. He's got a pretty busy social calendar.
No, she is really going over and above just to get on the radio, making out with
him. Oh,
how dare you?
Guys, I'm real.
She has a genuine affection for Big Tad.
I would never do that. No,
now let me tell you this. I mean, we don't know each other, but you break Big Tad's heart. And I'm going to give you a Hooters gift certificate. It seemed like I was going another direction there. And I started that way, and then I realized I really don't care. It'd be funny if you did.
Oh,
so when is the third date?
I know you guys love
I don't know.
We do. What do you think? This weekend?
No, she has to work this weekend.
Well, yeah. What's that mean? When does she get off work?
Actually, no. I am going to be out of town this weekend. But uh-oh.
In the arms of another man?
No, I have a family wedding to go to. But I will be back Monday, and I will be here, and then all weekend, next weekend.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's an eternity for Big Tad.
And I get paid next week, so,
well,
yeah.
Well, wait a second. Great. Wouldn't this be a nice opportunity to introduce Tad to the family at a wedding?
Oh, but I already RSVP'd.
All right, my point is you guys will be going out early next week, right?
We sure will.
All right. Thank you, Erica.
Just RSVP again. Just call him back and say, I have to RSVP now. I'm +3.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, bring it on, buddy.
We'll have the steak, chicken, and salmon. All right. Erica, you're a bigger man than I.
Oh, thanks, Adam. No, you're a gentleman, and thank you for
all right.
talking to
Listen,
us.
I like you. Keep going. And here's what I don't want, by the way.
Maybe you should set us up on a date. Maybe send us to somewhere nice since he does well for you guys.
You saying all you can eat sushi in Covina is not nice?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Come on, he took it downtown.
By the way, my hood, you know
Tad,
what I'm saying?
Going into town and going to downtown may have carried a little weight 50 years ago if you're living in rural Arkansas, but living in Los Angeles, explain that you went to downtown Downey or Covina or wherever the hell you went. No big deal about going downtown anymore. The kids don't get excited.
Well, that's what they call it.
About going downtown.
They call it downtown.
All right, well, maybe we'll cover something for you.
Oh, that would be nice.
Dude, Sizzler. Sweet.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, he'll take you to the roofie buffet.
If you do end up taking Sizzler. Him to the wedding this weekend, though, you better get a second cake.
Not
please.
Funny.
All right, you guys enjoy. And here's I just want you to promise me this. I don't want it. Tad is going to lose some weight.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get him onto that Biggest Loser
well, I told
thing.
Him he has to keep up with me. I said, I'm very athletic. And last night I even told him with his friends, I said, if we're going to be doing this, you're going to have to keep up with me one way or another. So
right.
I'm encouraging him. I think it's great.
I just don't want it to be one of these situations where the guy drops 100 pounds and you dump him. You know what I mean? Once in a while you hear about these stories.
No, Adam, I met him before. So I know where his heart is, and he's a great guy.
All right. Again, bigger man than I.
No.
Heart's in here somewhere.
Yes, thank you, Erica. I still suspect she's a man. We will, shall we hear a little Biggest Loser from Big Tad? This is the tape that Big Tad sent in to the producers of
yes.
The Biggest Loser. We're still determined to get you on that show.
I'm looking forward to it.
You walked around with a video camera around your house?
Yeah.
And you did this little
producers
little
are
bio.
Still debating whether or not they're going to put Fat Tad on the show.
Yes. Well, maybe this will put him over the top. This is his grandmother.
Hi, I'm the grandma. I'm the oldest of the bunch, and they better all straighten up.
What should they pick me, Grandma?
Oh, yes, definitely. Great loser.
Wait. Are you calling me a loser?
Well, you need to be there.
Okay,
biggest loser.
There you go. I'm the biggest loser. I'm not a loser.
No. Never a loser. Just the biggest loser.
Just say I just need to lose weight.
Yeah, you do.
That's my grandma.
You live at home with your grandmother, your mom.
Grandma, mom, aunt, uncle, cousin, dog, cat.
Oof. If I lived with my mother and my grandmother and my sister and an uncle, 45 minutes into the first day, I would walk out in the living room. I would show everyone a huge steak knife. I would set it against my sternum, and I would then fall on it in an announcement to the family how I felt about this. I could not imagine, just living with half my grandma and one of my mom's feet for one weekend, I would kill myself. And I mean them no disrespect. I would kill myself. I couldn't imagine doing that. Tad, you're into your 30s now.
I understand that.
Remember we met when you were 19?
Yes.
Remember the gas-filled van trip we took to Vegas to celebrate your 21st birthday with Kimmel?
Yes.
And your super gassy brother?
Yes.
I was saying to you what then?
You need to get out of the house. You need to move up here in L.A.
That's right. And yeah. And you were saying what then?
I can't afford it.
Right. And I was saying what then?
Then it became a blur. I don't remember.
The point is I think we're overtaken by your brother's gas at that point.
Yeah.
As we pass through Baker. The point is you never can afford to move out of the house. If anyone could truly ever afford to move out of the house, they wouldn't move out of the house. You can't afford it. Here's how life works. You just do it. You know what I mean? Is anyone ever really ready for kids? Can anyone really afford this? Can anyone really afford that? No, you move out. I moved out when I was 19. Got my buddy the Weeze. We moved to a one-bedroom apartment. I didn't have insurance, car insurance, medical, dental, whatever. I was making $7 an hour. You just move out. And you know what? Because you're a human being, you make it work. You'd be surprised. And if you want all your bases covered where you're going, I don't even have a new car. I don't even have dental insurance. You'll never move out. You just have to move out.
Stop spending all the money on the tattoos and
this tattoo is free.
And your terrible ho-ho habit. You break the 3 box of ho-hos a day habit.
All right. Now you're being cruel,
Tad,
Dave.
Needs specific
what
goals.
Is your plan?
Tad needs goals.
You move out, and then it all falls into place.
Well,
yes.
I just asked our guy that's in training right now, Sludge. What's his name?
Yeah,
Sludge. And if he gets a job out here, I asked him if he wanted to be a roommate. If he wanted to,
really?
Yeah.
He's going to move in your folks' house for you?
Yeah, he's going to come down to Fullerton.
Rent him half your room?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sludge, put this tent up in my room. $80 a month. All right, good. You and Sludge move out. Tad and Sludge. There's a tag team.
That should be a TV show.
All right. Yes, what were we talking about? Tag team? Go tag that punching machine, which was...
look at Fat Tad, by the way, wearing the Shaquille O'Neal Miami Heat jersey. I don't think Shaq Fu probably doesn't appreciate that. Shaq Food.
Given to us by Hooters, by the way.
Shaquille Oatmeal.
All right.
He cannot run into it.
I'm not going to run. Okay.
Dave is in love with himself this morning. All right, Big Tad is a powerful man. He's 325 pounds. He gave a nice shot to the bag there. So far, Tad holds the record, I do believe, but he didn't catch all that one, although he's doing pretty well. 5.06.
Nice.
Yeah, and he didn't even hit it right on.
No, he's a strong man. Let me tell you something about Tad. Make fun of Big Tad. I've played many a softball game with Big Tad. Oh, sure.
I think Tad and Dave, I think we should have some sort of a charity match between them.
Some sort of charity boxing match?
Yeah.
Tad's a powerful man. I'm telling you, I've played. He's like a lot of guys that are a little bit heavy set. They're not necessarily bad athletes. I played some softball with Tad. He clobbers the ball pretty good. Does okay.
Or just
does okay in the outfield.
Putting wrestling or something.
That I would watch. If Tad wouldn't eat the mat, they could do it. All right, Tad.
Yes, sir.
Excuse yourself.
Yes, champ.
Thank you. All right, we will take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to a man who recently set the piercing record.
Yes.
Yes, from your native Canada.
Yeah,
yes?
Right down the street from where I lived, Ottawa.
Over 1,000 times he pierced himself in 14 hours. He's on the phone. We'll talk to him after this.
Dana Gould, give Adam a call now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have Matt on the line who just set the world piercing record. Very quickly, though, I just want to speak to Scott, whose wife is the teacher of our young comedian, Christian. Scott?
Hi.
Your wife teaches Christian?
Yes, she's actually his drama teacher.
Oh.
They have drama at 13?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's junior high, and it's kind of like an elective class. You take that, or pottery, or whatever, it's like an elective class. So
they do
one play a year and stuff, so it's a fun class for them.
All right. So your wife's job is to take young youth and mold them into homos. Is that right?
No, just not necessarily. All right. They just try to make it so they have a fun class.
Okay. So what do you have to say for yourself, Scott?
In other words, what's that?
Do you have any comments?
On that, no. What I was wondering is, we know he's going to be doing the thing at the Improv, and well, I said he's really excited about that, and we just kind of want to make sure that we're able to find out about earning that, so we might be able to get tickets so we can go watch him, because she really wants to support him.
Okay. Well, we'll work that out. Okay. You guys come down here from Fresno. Don't worry. We'll keep you posted.
Bring the whole
drama
class. You
listen to the show. Yeah, bring them all.
Bring them all?
Yes. Bring the comedies and the tragedies. Bring them all.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you're going to have to stay through Jeff Ross. I got to warn you. I don't want you all picking up when Christian's done and heading out to the street to smoke.
Well, if we have to drive all the way down to L.A., we might as well make a night of it.
That's right. All right. That was young Christian's teacher's husband, Scott, calling in, so we'll keep you posted. Now it is time to speak to Matt. Matt Robinson?
Yep.
Matt, you just set the world piercing record?
Yeah, that's correct.
1,016 body piercings in 14 hours.
Yep.
He doesn't sound so good.
No, I feel fine. I'm just kind of out of it. I've been up since about 7 o'clock this morning, so...
Wow. All right, well, we'll try to make this less painless than the piercing ordeal. It was painful, was it not?
Yes, it was.
He was trying to get like 1,500 piercings or something, and then it just got so painful that you decided to just break the record, right?
Yeah, I was actually going to go for 1,200, and then after about 500 in, it was starting to get there, so I ended up just calling it 1,016. That way I knew I had the record, so...
Now, what was the previous record?
1,015.
I think Dakota Fanning had the original one. A lot of people know how hardcore she is when you look at her. She takes the stuff out, evidently, do the movies. And you, now who administered these? Do you do them yourself?
No, I actually had one of my best friends actually do it for me. He's a professional piercer. So.
Good to go with a pro in this situation.
Yeah.
You don't want some drunken hack just coming at you.
Also, did you figure out what it would have cost if you had paid for all these piercings? Because piercings aren't cheap.
Mm-mm.
It would have been a little over $40,000.
Yeah. No, we are simpatico on this particular subject. My hood piercing ran me upwards of $300.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. And that was at the mall. One could only imagine what it would be at a nice boutique, type place, on Melrose, some training place. This is just a mall place.
Yeah.
Just a big front window. Ace man up on the stirrups.
Where?
Right across from the gymboree. A lot of parents complained. Yes.
I want to know where Ollie put them all.
That's
like,
where I want to know, too. Yeah. Where do you put the lion's share of
What part of you couldn't have been tested?
Yeah, and where did you start, and then where did you go from there?
We actually started off with the left side of my back and did the whole thing down, and then we switched over to my arms because that was a lot easier on me.
Mm-hmm.
Did probably about 800 or so on my arms alone, and then moved to the right side of my back, did a little bit more on there, and then put the rest of them up by my elbows.
Mm. And there's no anesthetic or anything like that, right?
No, it was all just straight up. No anesthetic, no nothing.
What's the most painful part of the body to get pierced?
It ended up being my back, so we tried to steer clear of that as much as we could.
Mm. And then who keeps a tally of this? Is there some sort of professional piercing, someone from Guinness Book or something who's there?
No, we had witnesses there. That was part of the rule, and they were trying to keep tally. And then we had an official logbook, and one of the ladies that works down there, her name's Jordana. Actually was tallying them as we were going, so we ended up checking them all and making sure it was right.
And it says here that you became physically ill during this procedure.
I was fine during the whole thing. The guy who originally did it had like medical problems. That's why he had to stop at 1015.
Mm-hmm.
But they were checking my vitals probably every 15, 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
My vitals stayed perfect the whole time.
Wow, that's big of them.
Well,
and so one guy, he ran out of steam at 1015, did you say?
Yeah.
Because you just want one more then and quit?
Like the price is right.
I see.
One over.
Right. And so let me ask you, now you had 26 original piercings, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And those don't count against the record.
I couldn't use them at all, so it was basically all fresh.
Not at all.
Doesn't make any sense.
Shouldn't you be able to take those out and then put them back in? That should be your first 26, right?
No, they wouldn't allow that. It's a previous hole there, and it's already open, so...
They have to be fresh piercings.
Though. Yep.
Oh, my God. What do your parents think of this?
I don't think they were too keen on it at first, but now they're pretty relaxed with it because of all that tension I've been getting lately, so...
Mm-hmm. And what's next for you, Matt? Is it just back to work at the accounting office, or what do you do?
I have two jobs. I'm actually just finishing up my piercing apprenticeship over at the Pet Studio there here in Ottawa, Illinois, and then I also work at the PetSmart distribution center.
Now, what happens if someone makes a run at your record?
I don't think a lot of people would be able to withstand that kind of pain.
Really? But if somebody gets 1,017 piercings in 14 hours, do you go again?
I've considered it. I probably would just because I think I'm a little off my rocker, so...
Yeah, I'd say. And in 14 hours, how does that work? I mean, is that the allotted time?
No, there's actually no time limit to it whatsoever. It just has to be continuous work, so...
Uh-huh.
So, that's what it ended up being.
So it could take 24 hours, but it couldn't take a week. If it took a week, it wouldn't be continuous.
Yeah, if it took a week, I don't know what the hell the person's on, so...
Right. So were you just covered in blood when the whole thing was done?
Yeah, I think I lost about... After we finished and then took them all out, it took... I think I lost approximately 3 ounces of blood.
Which doesn't sound like a lot...
It really wasn't. The nurses commenting on how
that's what I meant. It doesn't sound like a lot. I know my inflection seemed weird.
Matt, you should get a job. You should just be a human sprinkler. Just put like a hose in your mouth and just spin around.
Why mouth?
Go
the other way, you'd be right, one of those lawn birds.
Yeah.
If you can make that
just a tip.
Sound, you know?
I mean, did you swell up or anything? Like, what sort of a natural reaction did your body have? Like, I would imagine it would just start rejecting this process at some point.
No, actually, I did swell up a little bit. Like, there was swelling around where it was done and that, but, I mean, basically the worst part of it all was the blood. I mean, now, afterwards, the holes are healing up. I'm bruised. I've got lines of bruising where the piercings were,
mm-hmm.
either yellow or black and blue. That's about the extent of it.
Are you bathing in Neosporin at this point just to keep, like, infection out?
Well, the first two, I think it was the first 2 days, I had to keep wrapped at all times.
No.
And then I had to lay in the bath for a half hour with some sea salts and cover everything with like a triple antibiotic.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You have to get the piercings. All right, Matt. Nice job.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely not a Jew.
I'm going to go with you. Here's the thing, too. This will not translate into 1 ounce of tail for 99.99% of the female population, but there is a very small percentage, a small group that this will translate into an avalanche of tail for. See, this is what I'm going to teach my son. Don't worry about being all things to all women. Just go ahead. If you can get 1% of them, you're done, my friend. That's more than Wilt could handle. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And this will work on a very small 1%, small percentage of screwed up chicks. This is going to work like a charm. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. We got news. We got sports. I think Jonathan Chichu. Chichu!
Chichu, the best name in professional sports.
He's going to be calling in during the sports. Also, George Wendt coming in. Bonaducci coming in. Jason Reitman, son of Ivan, director, new movie. Thank You for Smoking coming in. All that coming up.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very exciting. Dave, are you sitting down?
I am on cloud nine.
The greatest name in sports. Now, normally we do the news and then we do the sports, but today we're going to do the sports and then do the news because the great Jonathan Chichu is on the phone. Jonathan?
Hi.
Hello, Chichu.
Chichu! How say you, Chichu?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing
terrific.
Good.
Terrific.
You want to kiss some ass, Dave, or shall
Listen,
I?
Listen, Chichu, the greatest name in sports. Tell us, if as if that weren't enough, tell us beyond the great name that you have, where from whence you hail.
I'm from Moose Factory, Ontario.
Moose Factory! Chichu's from Moose Factory!
Wow.
Can you beat that?
Well, I got a cousin who's from Beaver Warehouse, Montana.
What's the story with that? What kind of name is that for a city? Do they actually you eat moose? Yes,
I do. Yes, it's probably my favorite meal.
This it says I'm looking at his card here. It says his favorite food is fried moose. That's one of those things like where you're talking about how tough a guy is, and you go, "This guy eats nails and craps thunder." You know, this guy eats fried moose for breakfast. That's what you'd say. If you're talking about some mythical Paul Bunyan type character, that's what you would say. He eats fried moose.
Did you serve the fried moose at your bar mitzvah? Oh, wait. You're not Jewish.
No, not Jewish.
Shocker.
What is your nationality?
I'm Native North American.
Yes, very interesting because you're the only Native American, Native North American in the NHL, yes, ever.
Well, no, I'm not the only Native North American, but I'm the only one from the Moose Cree First Nation tribe.
I see.
Mm. Dances with goalies, I think, in the early 50s was a guy, the first Native American to actually make it in the NHL. What tribe are you a member of, Jonathan?
Moose Cree First Nation.
Oh, Moose Cree. Oh, you said it. Oh, I got the Moose Cree mixed up with the moose knuckle. And then eating the moose. Does all life have to revolve around the moose?
Pretty much, I guess.
Is
up
the
there.
Where you're from, you're part of North America, is the moose the equivalent to the buffalo, to what our North Americans, Indians, have over here? That's an interesting question. Well, we live our people before the white man.
Your
before,
people?
Yes. I'm 126 Comanche. That's what gives me my tenacity.
Oh.
Me and Cher. Here's my here's my point. My point is we had the buffalo and then the white man, you people came in
what,
and you you desecrated the buffalo and we had nothing to live on. I'm wondering if the moose is your buffalo.
Yeah, we use moose a lot, but there's still quite a few around.
Yeah.
Now, Chichu, San Jose Sharks, by the way, having a dynamite year. You know, how many goals you have so far? 28?
Yeah, pretty close to that. 43.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought you had more than that. Now I'm looking at a card.
Goals.
I should have trusted my instincts. Yeah. Chichu, you're having a dynamite year.
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
And you're fighting it out though for the last playoff spot in the Western Conference. Yes.
Yeah,
I see.
I think we'll do it though. We got some games in hand, and we're pretty close already. So.
Well, I like it when you score goals because when you do, then the next morning I can report that a goal was scored by Jonathan Chichu.
Now, had you heard of Dave Damashek?
I'm sure.
Dave Damashek.
I mean, had the word gotten out to you that there was a sportscaster out of Los Angeles who was screaming your name 3-4 times a week?
I heard that, yes.
Oh, is really? That right?
Wow.
Now, Chichu, I would like to hear you say with great enthusiasm, I'd like to hear you say Chichu.
With great enthusiasm?
Mm-hmm. Yes. As though you had just scored a goal and the play-by-play guy is thrilled with it.
Chee-choo.
Pretty good. Try it like this. Chee-choo!
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done. What's your favorite name in the NHL?
My favorite name in the NHL?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I like hearing Thornton after I score. So.
I see. I see. His teammate Joey Thornton having a dynamite year for the Sharks.
For me, it's Lord Stanley. That's the only name I recognize in the NHL. Yes. Well, I don't think we're going to do much better than Jonathan Chichu saying Chichu like Dave Damashek says Chichu.
Chichu! From right. Moose Factory, Ontario. Go get him, Chichu. Get into those playoffs. Keep it going.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Thank you for joining us on the show, Jonathan.
Oh, no problem.
And we hope that when you guys make the playoffs,
may I ask one question,
you'll be our correspondent. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, that would be great if you would be our playoff correspondent. But just very quickly, I don't want to push my luck. You already said Chichu in dynamic fashion. Tell me this, Gretzky versus Lemieux, quickly. Who's the best of all time?
Gotta go with Gretzky.
No, incorrect, Chichu. Our love affair is over.
Wow. The honeymoon's over, Chichu. You may come from a moose knuckle, but he comes from Beaver Falls, which is just outside of Pittsburgh, and he's a huge Lemieux fan.
Oh, that's where it is. I like the moose if he shoots right, though.
I see, I see. Well, listen, we'll agree to disagree on that. But go get into the playoffs, Chichu.
All right, we will do.
All right, take care. It says here on this card that he wrote an essay in the fourth grade about wanting to play for the San Jose Sharks.
That's amazing. They seem like they came into being in about 1994.
Yes.
Roughly around there.
And also, he's not from up north. It's not like he lives in the Bay Area. And
Why didn't we ask him about that?
Also I was going to.
Is he there still?
I don't know.
Chichu!
Chichu, how say you?
All right.
Chichu, let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
And God love you for staying on the phone for an extra minute and a half without hanging up after we hung up on you, because
I wanted to hear you guys make fun of me.
Oh, okay. No. Everyone's jaded out here. We hang up when the other person hangs up. But over there, they'll stay on the phone a few beats.
He's Canadian. What do you want?
You wrote an essay in the fourth grade about wanting to play for the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, I did.
You're from Ontario. Why of all of the teams in
the
NHL would you have chosen
Rouge,
the
Blanc,
Sharks?
Rouge, Blanc, Blue?
They were just the new franchise in the league, and they drafted one of the players that was my favorite player out of junior.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to kind of play with him, but he's kind of retired now, so didn't really come to that.
But it's interesting that you had realistic goals as a fourth grader, which is, I don't want to play with whoever just won the Stanley Cup. I want to get on to the expansion team. I have a much better chance of getting on with that club.
I guess that's what it was.
Interesting.
I just like that whole destiny thing. I think that's it's really fascinating. It's like...
Yeah. I should have written something.
You should have written something down.
I should have. Instead of that whole pirate astronaut dream I had. I should have put it in writing. That's my point. It shouldn't have just been a dream. It should have been an essay like Chichu. C+, by the way, is all he got on it. And by the way, it's not the fourth grade over there. It's grade 4, as I've learned. All right, Chichu, we won't talk any crap. You can hang up now.
I hope Chichu will join us, though, for the NHL playoffs.
Yes, join us for the playoffs, please. Please be a correspondent for us.
All right, will do.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We'll pay him in fried moose.
Fried moose. All right, we now... In reverse order, it is time to move forward with Rachel Perry and her news.
It's...
Yeah.
I for a second thought that was the right music, too.
Yeah.
I should have just gone with it. Did you hear about this girl, Tanya Koch, found alive? She went missing when she was like 14. 10 years later, shows up. Mm. Can you imagine... I just love stories like this. I love hearing about people, like it's such a happy ending to, I mean, a terrible ordeal that she's been through, but like,
yeah,
missing for 10 years. Can you imagine thinking your child had gone missing? Just assumed gone.
I gotta say, I'd hold out hope for about 4 or 5 years, and then I'd be sort of still wishing, but realistically thinking they're not coming back from about the 5-year mark to the 8 or 9-year mark. Once we got to the 10-year mark, I'd be disappointed if I found them. Feel like I'd already done the emotional work. You know what I mean? I'd kind of moved on.
Right.
You know, emotionally.
Kind of like that Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved on. sorry.
It's like, eh, I'm over.
Yeah, and now what do you want? Braces? College? What is it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wow, you got all these emotional things you're going to go through
now.
Yes,
I feathered my nest nicely. I was looking at picking up a ski boat. Now you're back. What do you want? You want a Schwinn? You want a moped? You want a retainer? What do you want? I know it's going to cost me. Yeah, and all these stories are great until you real. I mean, that's if they were raised by bears in the Canadian wilds, but they were raised by pedophiles in a cabin for 10 years, and then it gets really sad when you find out the details.
And they probably lived in another city, so that now they've taken on other teams that they root for, so now like, they want to watch different games.
That's right.
Games
what if the person left Beaver Falls and they're no longer a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? They would have to disown
them. She's actually in
McKeesport. Really?
And isn't McKeesport the same place that the person was had put that fake penis in a microwave?
What's Ace likes to play Germany versus Florida, but I think Western PA is quickly emerging as as an area for very strange events.
Certainly made a run over the last few months.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and is this like Stockholm Syndrome, where you abduct somebody, and then after a few years in captivity, they just can't, they're scared to escape? You know, you hear about the stories, the guy goes out of town, and she just stays home, never calls the cops, never leaves?
I think that's basically it. I think what happened was the guy was like a you know, some sort of security guy or like a cleaning guy, worked at her middle school, and she was telling her, oh, your family doesn't love you, you suck, like nobody wants you, and so she stayed there with him, but apparently he
I got the same story from my dad, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Dad, what's the point of this? You're not, you understand, you didn't, I live here. You know, it's not, I'm not gonna run away. I mean, I am gonna get out of here, but it seems like you should save the speech.
He just...
Yeah. There's no wealthy family looking for me. We live here. You understand? Yeah. He wised up. Nobody was saying. Zipped it.
Went back to the flugel.
And now is waiting for you to dole out $5,000 checks in radio contests.
That's right.
Excellent. And moving on, Zakarias Moussaoui's roommate testified in his trial.
So the terrorist, they're calling the, what, 21st hijacker? The guy who was behind the whole 9/11 thing, the only one alive, his roommate is being put up on.
Well, yeah, he testified via videotape that they played in the courtroom, and it was earlier this week. We actually finally got a hold of the tape of the testimony. Did you want to hear it?
Yeah, this is his roommate.
This is Zakarias Moussaoui's roommate.
Okay,
my name is Hussein Al Attas. I was a roommate with Moussaoui in Oklahoma University in 2001. Go Sooners. He was a rude man and an undesirable roommate. He tried to recruit me for jihad in Chechnya. We did not get along. I come home and he has eaten all of my honey bunches of oats.
Wow.
They were clearly marked with my name in marker on masking tape. He still has my copy of Frampton Comes Alive. That is my favorite album. He has taken
it's a good album.
It's a bad guy and a bad roommate, too, I guess, is what we're saying here.
Jerk.
Is there anything else?
I come home early from class, and I find him using my futon to put his sex on a woman. And when the landlord finds his pot plant, I lose my security deposit.
Oh, man.
I was given Tony Hawk Underground as a Ramadan gift. It is for my Xbox. He tries to jam it into his PlayStation. Now it is ruined. Now I can't play Tony Hawk.
Wow.
He's just a crappy guy.
Yeah, I guess it's bad.
I think I
got to believe the federal government would have wanted him to focus on the whole, you know, jihad part of the thing, and a little less on the roommating part, but I guess the guy had some laundry there.
I guess they call it a character witness. It just shows
he's a bad guy.
Just a terrorist, he's also a bad roommate.
Bad roommate, okay.
Yeah, but everybody's had those. You know, I had fried girls, like, take all my clothes. And,
yeah.
I mean, you just don't, you must have dealt with that stuff.
Well, as a roommate, too, I mean, sure, the Trade Center's coming down is a tragedy, but on a personal level, not as big a tragedy as him spilling a bong or something on some carpet, or, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, personally, to you. I think that's what he was on, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I see that it was more of a tragedy for him.
For him, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, to each his own. Britney Spears was at Kevin Federline's birthday party, 28th birthday party, and some people are saying, because they're saying she's pregnant, but we don't know she's pregnant.
Right.
Some sources are saying she was drinking.
Yes.
Drinking up a storm at the party.
Yeah.
Others are saying she was not.
Well, I was watching Entertainment Tonight or something last night, and they're like, well, she can't be pregnant. She was drinking a Cosmopolitan. Well, she had her infant on her lap as she sped away down PCH the other day. I don't know that this is above her or below her.
Meh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, she either was or she wasn't. All I'm reporting is either she was or she wasn't.
I would get pregnant if enough people said they thought I was pregnant. Because there's nothing worse than everyone thinking you're pregnant and you're not pregnant. That just means you're tad. You know what I mean? I would knock myself up in a hurry if every other tabloid newspaper had me as pregnant. You goddamn right I'd get pregnant.
You know what? I have been kind of hearing those things, so
well,
you should probably...
Dave, let's go.
Go me on, first?
Bruce. Yes.
Ooh la la.
Then Bruska. Whoever has to
drop them.
Whoever's seed can swim upriver better wins or loses.
I may actually have the new Kevin Federline song for you later.
Oh, fantastic.
So stick around for that. And I just wanted to play you something that happened on American Inventor last night.
Mm-hmm.
Loving this show. It's insane. And some girl came out and she had designed some sort of a bra. I mean, I'm sure you would love this. It's like this bra. It just looks like a big red ribbon.
Yeah.
And one tug and it's off.
Yeah, it's like lingerie where you get to unwrap your gift, and your gift is boobies.
Yeah.
And I kept seeing them do it, but they tiled out her lower part, too, but she was wearing panties.
Panties that you couldn't tell, though. I mean, they looked like...
Uh-huh.
But
I saw them when she walked in, and they didn't tile them out. That was the thing that was weird. But anyway.
I don't know. Do you want to hear
how that
went? This was like the judge, one of the female judge freaked out, by
the
way.
Sure. It's an attack.
I have a gift for you. Do you want me to unwrap it?
Oh, my God.
Look at all the guys.
Gina. Gina, what are you doing?
Doug, relax.
Stop. This is foul.
With one easy tug, it comes completely
over. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it took more than one easy tug for me when I was watching that. Like 13 and a half.
That woman was
Well, hold
livid.
On. Is there and back one? Or is it,
one easy tug?
You know, take it easy on
up
yourself.
Up just one
yeah,
and
just
then down is two? Or, there's my point. Was either 6 3/4 tugs or 13 and a half. Whichever, whatever math you do. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
All right.
So we are going to do the sports.
For Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
What a night of college hoops last night. UCLA made one of the biggest comebacks in NCAA tourney history. Down 17 at one point to the Zags of Gonzaga. They scored the game's last 9 points to pull it out. Texas knocked off West Virginia with a last-second three. LSU upset number one seed Duke. And thank you to the Memphis Tigers, who whipped the Bradley Braves. Bradley got what it deserved after upsetting my Pitt Panthers last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they should have just been happy with the 13 seed, but no, they had to break my heart. Four more games tonight, best of which ought to be BC, Boston College, and one seed Villanova. Plus, you've got Washington and UConn, Florida and Georgetown, and perhaps the worst Sweet 16 matchup in the history of this March Madness, Wichita State versus George Mason.
Whoever.
Who cares? Yeah. Worst thing about this game is one of them has to win, then we have to watch them again in a couple of days. How about this? Let's just put Pitt back into the tournament.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Thank you. Our nation's group of pro basketball players played some games last night.
Mm.
Big news for Phoenix Suns, Amari Stoudemire, their dynamite forward, played his first game of the season, scored 20 in the whipping of Portland. Meantime, the Clips lost in Memphis. And back to this UCLA-Gonzaga game, of course, the sad news is, for Gonzaga fans at least, Adam Morrison, their great player with the horrific mustachio, is done now probably. He's a junior, but is likely to go pro, and after the game, he was absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah, that's the way the game works, so if you don't execute down the stretch, pay for it. And we just had a few missteps. You got to take your hat off to UCLA.
Well, you'd have thought that his mustache would have been too waterlogged with Adam Morrison's tears, but in fact, he was the glass half full in the whole thing, looking ahead instead of back.
Who gives a crap about March Madness? We're going to the NBA! Gonna make that dollar bills, y'all! Word! Look out, ladies, here we come!
So the mustache is excited.
They actually mic'd up his mustache, Wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Mustachio sounds like the world's worst ice cream.
Yeah, well, the one thing, you know, now that we just talked to Jonathan Chichu from Moose Factory, I have a good idea for Chichu. Grow a mustachio as you eat your fried moose.
Yes.
Save some for later in the mustachio.
Eat fried moose.
Awesome.
All right. George Wendt is coming in here. Next,
fantastic.
We'll talk to him about his new show. And Danny Bonaducci coming in still. Jason Reitman, new director of Thank You for Smoking, Son of Ivan, coming in. All that coming up.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. George Wendt in studio.
Yep. Hi.
Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you for the applause.
Modern Men, Fridays, 9:30 on the WWWWB.
Yes, that's all, folks. Yeah.
They forced me to do that once.
I'd like to yell Norm
ago.
To you, but I feel like that would probably be hokey, right?
Oh, I want to do it so bad.
Yeah, well, purge yourself, Rachel.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Norm!
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well done.
Not the best.
I found out that he played Norm in 6 different TV shows.
Really?
Yes. As I look down at my card, Cheers, Frasier, makes sense. Wings, sort of makes sense.
Also makes sense. Yeah.
Saint Elsewhere, The Tortellis.
Yeah.
Remember that show? Mm-hmm. And then of course a little show called The Simpsons.
Wow.
And soon to be, I guess number 7 would be Family Guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Another great animated show.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, because I used to be Death on the show. Until they ironically killed my character.
They killed Death?
Well, not in so many words, but...
Death was a great character. I loved it when Death would be on Family Guy.
Thank you. Thank you for my your mouth to Satan's ears.
Yeah.
Or God's ears. Yes. Well, he comes back every once in a while, but I'm looking for an episode that surrounds Death, you know, not
There's
just a line here or there.
You've had plenty of episodes.
Oh, I want more.
Okay.
That's how we do it, right, George?
Yep.
George,
less is more, though.
I like, how many SNL DeBears bits do you think you did?
That
was my
know.
Favorite.
Maybe 15 or 20, but I don't know.
Do you get more DeBears or do you get more Norm when you're running around?
I get more Norm, but, you know, the people who think that, like, hey, I know, I'll mention something else. Like,
right.
You know, the Michael Jackson video or something. Yeah, like, yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, black and white.
Yeah, babe.
What, black or white, I should say.
Black
what,
or white.
Where was that? Where'd you do that? What year was that? Take us back to that year. What was Jacko like?
Valencia or something. And it was, you know, it was fun. John Landis directed it. I'm going to be working with him, actually, next week. And that was fun. But I'll never forget, it aired. It launched with some incredible national television.
Right.
Thing for I don't know why, but I guess he was just huge at the time and he could call the shots. But our director on Cheers at the time, Jim Burrows, had 3 little girls and no boys in the family. And he was watching it with his girls, and he told me the next day that one of his little girls said, "Daddy, why does Michael Jackson hold his vagina all the time?"
Turned out to be a prophet.
Well, I would imagine you and Michael Jackson are like 2 peas in a pod, right? Hanging out with him for the day.
Putting back some cold ones, cheering on Notre Dame.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Back
Did you
to
know
South
I was
Bend.
In Notre Dame? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I found out yesterday that you were thrown out of Notre Dame for having a 0.0 GPA.
All right. Well, that's a common misconception. Actually, what really happened was the university had advised me that I'd pretty much taken sitting on a bar stool and drinking beer as far as I could on an amateur basis.
And it was time.
Yeah, it was time to move into the professional.
To go pro.
Yeah.
And the Olympics were coming up, so you want to hang on to your status. But your mom needed an operation, right. So it's time to turn pro. I got put on academic probation at L.A. Valley College, by the way, the junior college. To be,
that's worse.
To be put on academic probation at a junior college, and you have to physically assault a teacher at the junior college level in order to get put on academic probation. Yeah, at least you went to a school people had heard of and been thrown out of it for your academics.
Yeah.
And did you grow up in the Chicago area?
Yeah, south side of Chicago.
And what was the plan when you were leaving high school? Acting? Were you thinking about that?
No, not at all. I had no plan, no clue whatsoever, you know, in anything in life.
So you go
I was 17 when I went to college. It was like nutty.
You go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You don't do so well.
Right. Well,
then
I mean, I hung on for like 2.5 years.
Right.
It was the middle of my junior year that I went pro.
And where do you go? Where do you go beside the bar at that time?
Nowhere.
You went nowhere?
Just to the bar.
You go back home to Chicago?
Oh, you mean when I got kicked out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I went home to Chicago and got a job for a while. And then I said, I'm going to go back to college. And I went to this other school, Rockhurst College, where I took my degree in economics.
And then what? How did you get into the acting then?
Yeah.
I just wanted to be in Second City. I didn't really think about I wanted to be an actor. I just, you know, I was sort of did the process of elimination, trying to figure out how what I could possibly do with my life that I wouldn't hate. And so I'm going, sales, no. Fireman, no. Scientist, no. Teacher, and a cowboy, no. You know,
right.
I'll hate all those things. And,
cowboy, how could you
whatever.
Hate cowboy?
All right, well, the thing is...
the horse wouldn't
figured,
be a fan of that either.
I'd gone to Second City several times during college. And
just to watch the show.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed myself. And I thought, you know, I bet I wouldn't hate that. Because it looks like, you know, six people just goofing off on stage. And I thought, I bet I wouldn't hate that. And I was pretty sure they got paid.
Right.
So after... like vagabonding in Europe for a couple of years.
Wow. Was there some money? Did your family have some money?
No, I stayed at my parents' house and, you know, worked in my dad's office. And, my family did have some money, but I didn't, like, get their money. You know what I mean? I just had
they didn't give you up. They didn't give you money, but it bought you a few years to kick around a little bit.
And, you know, back in the day, it was like, I think Icelandic Airlines was 169 round trip to Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could smoke and smack the stewardess's ass when she walked by. Looking hot, baby. Yeah. Freshen up my highball. And sit on my lap. Why not?
Yeah. So you're living, you know, in caves on the beach in Morocco. It's like, you know, living on lemons. The money could go a long way.
How are the ladies over there?
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No ladies?
Come on now. Free love. What year are we talking about?
Early 70s.
Early 70s.
Wow. Yeah.
They didn't
even
have, this is pre-AIDS. This is pre-crabs even.
I got to confess, I was shut out.
Really?
I was 0 for Europe, yeah.
Wow. That's tough to do.
Yeah, and North Africa.
A lot of guys will get laid in the airport just coming in.
I know.
Wow. Everybody meets people backpacking over there.
Yeah.
It's some sort of unspoken thing where everyone's just going to go over there and get laid.
Yeah.
I can't believe you couldn't pull any European tail.
You know.
What happened?
Well, it's hard to, you know, you know, engaging in a second language and, you know, speaking present tense French, you know,
that's why you let the hands do the talking.
Yeah. But if I didn't get kicked out and I let the hands do the talking.
Yes.
If I didn't get kicked out, if I'd done better in French, maybe I'd have done better in Europe.
See? Know that when you're failing out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. George Wendt is here. Modern Men, his show, Fridays, 9:30 on the WB. We're going to play a little something called... Match Game when we come back. It's the actual Match Game, the show from the 70s, George. I'm sure you remember that.
But he was over in Europe. He may not have seen it.
Yes, he was masturbating in Amsterdam during that period. But we had a game show out here that Gene Rayburn used to host called Match Game. Celebrities try to fill in the answers. We need you to play along, so call in if you want to play along in a celebrity edition of that. We'll do that also. Danny Bonaducci coming up. Director Jason Reitman. I'm going to kiss his ass and maybe pitch him a few movies, too. Thank you for not smoking. His latest. We'll take a quick break. All that after this.
Yeah.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. George went in studio. Modern Men, Friday nights, 9:30 on the WWWB. Let's see. Where were we? You were talking during the break about your days over at Notre Dame. Even though you were tossed out for your academics, you're still a fan of the football team,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big fan of the football team. And, you know, I've been on a campaign for a while now to get my honorary degree. And I think it's just an absolute disgrace that I have not been honored by the university.
Yeah. Bill Cosby probably has 25 or 30 from Notre Dame alone, and you get nothing.
But my campaign has run into a snag because of two major issues. I refuse to give any money. And I won't speak.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, and my entire platform is, do you really want Regis Philbin to be your guy?
Right.
And I rest that case.
Yeah, and the fact that you're not even willing to travel to South Bend, though, I would say, the fact that you just wait by the mailbox every day for it to show up, it's not, again, going to hurt your case.
Yeah, but the Regis argument, you think they would anoint him Dr. Peterson tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Right.
That's all they have over there, huh?
I know.
You know, it's weird. Growing up, I didn't know colleges through academics. I just knew them through football. If you like football, that's how you know. And Notre Dame, I never had any idea where they were from. I thought they were, you know, from the Vatican or something, somewhere in Italy, perhaps. Like I had just the team, the Fighting Irish, the whole Indiana part of Notre Dame from a guy who grew up in North Hollywood. It made no sense at all.
Yeah, there was this kid. I saw an interview with a kid who was playing Notre Dame from, like, you know, some southern school. And he goes, "What about the mystique? Aren't you worried about the mystique of Notre Dame?" He said, "Well, no. I grew up in the South. Until I was in junior high school, I thought Clemson and Auburn were states."
Yeah.
So did I. I still do.
All right, we're going to play a little match game. Now, Match Game is a game from the 70s out here. Maybe bled into the 80s. I don't know. We all remember watching it growing up. Celebrities try to match the answers with the contestants who call in. So, first, I think we'll pick our contestants, yes? Let's see. I'll go with Seth. Seth?
Yes.
You want to play along?
Great, yeah.
All right. And you'll be playing Al, who's on line 4, all right? So, hang on a second. Let me get Al. Al?
Hey, what's going on?
How say you?
I do well. How are you?
Good. You want to play?
Yeah.
All right. You'll be playing Seth. Shall we start?
Seth will be first.
Get ready to match the star.
We got a,
as we play the star-studded big money match game 73.
You got a $50 Hooters gift certificate at stake. $50 doesn't sound like a lot, but you can buy a Hooters franchise for like $80. So keep that in mind. And that's a lot of wings. $50 worth of wings. All right. So should we get started with the first question?
Seth, do not answer this question until we have delivered our answer.
All right.
After the game, the pretty cheerleader blank the whole football team.
Wow.
Pretty cheerleader blanked the whole football.
Let's write our answers down.
Did you hear that, or is there too much?
Yes.
Is your hair too thick for you to hear that?
Yeah. I can hear right through wiggle.
After the game, the pretty cheerleader blanked the whole football team.
All right.
Ha.
Mm-hmm. You're going first, Dave?
I am. Well, first of all, we need to get. My answer.
Everyone got their
first
answer.
First, we need Seth's answer.
Seth,
congratulated.
Congratulated. All right, everyone has their answer. Dave,
I went with cheered up.
Cheered up.
Cheered up.
Rachel Perry, how say you?
I said humped.
Humped. Oh, she's working blue.
George,
what else do you do?
Thanked. Judges, Richard, thanked, congratulated.
Close. Richard Dawson. What did Richard Dawson say?
All right, let's get down to Mr. Conservative here. All right.
I can't be long. I have to get this jacket back to Captain Kangaroo.
He kissed the whole team.
Kissed.
All right, right. I went scored with.
Nice.
Because of the
well
team.
Well done, yeah.
Scored
that makes
with
sense.
The whole football team. It had a sexual connotation.
0-5.
Seth, that's an 0-for.
Yeah.
Better game would be, imagine what Richard Dawson was wearing in 1974.
Judge here says, thanked and congratulated. Want to give him one? Or
yes, we'll give him one.
All right.
We'll give him one. Why not? All right. Hang on there.
Ow.
Seth. What is our next one?
Harry. You says here, Harry. I'm reading right here. Says Harry, the printing is getting smaller.
Helen Keller reads the
Harry
question.
Had to buy an extra large bed to make room for his extra large blank. We got a cackler in the audience, John.
All right.
Some lady out there. You better get her for one of our future shows.
Everybody has their
Harry
has their answer.
Large bed to make room for his extra large blank.
Al?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
I was going to say tad, but I'll just go with woman.
Woman.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Interesting direction. I just tried to match what I thought would give Al the win. Mm-hmm. The most obvious one was ass.
Ass. So
I just went with ass.
All right. Rachel Perry, how say you?
That's funny. I thought the most obvious one was wife.
Yes. Good answer.
Oh.
All right. Now, I think that's
close enough to give him
that. That's a win, right?
He needs one more now.
George?
Wife?
Yeah.
You had wife
Greg
on there?
Nine's single life.
Wow, that's a win. But
George,
let's see
I'm gonna
what
have,
Dawson went with.
I'm going to have to see the card, by the way, just to verify, just to make sure.
Wife indeed.
Yes, wife it says, yes. Richard Dawson, how say you?
Okay, she was so large she fell down and rocked herself to sleep trying to get up. So I put wife.
That's it.
All right. And again, I had wife written down as well.
Why am I the retard? How did I not figure that one out?
Nature or nurture?
We all have our places
parents.
In life.
Al.
Yo.
You just won yourself $50.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for playing the match game.
And we're looking forward to seeing all of you next time, whenever that is. Who knows? But our paths will cross again. Gene Rayburn saying so long for Match Game 73.
Well, it's going to have to be in hell, Gene. Because he's gone. He's long gone. All right. I want to thank George Wendt for coming in.
Thank you.
God love you for playing the game with us.
Sure.
One out of two ain't bad. Let's see. Yes, Modern Men, Fridays, 9:30 on the WWWB. And Danny Bonaducci coming in here next. We'll do that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, Danny Bonaducci in studio.
Hey, guys.
Awesome. A man with a motor.
Yeah, nicely said.
Yeah, they said, we're talking yesterday after the show, saying, what are we going to do with Bonaducci? And I said, oh, what aren't we going to do with Bonaducci?
Right.
He's
just
a talker.
Say hi. Yeah, just say hi. We'll take it from there.
That's right. He knows morning radio.
I've done a little of it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what happened? Somebody was asking me the other day why you got tossed off, quit, or fired. I don't know, from doing local morning radio out here, Southern California.
They had some minor objections to me taking just mountains of drugs.
That's what I said.
They took umbrage with it and fired me.
Wow.
Yeah.
But were you able to do your job? I mean, you're a guy.
Never missed a day. Never
yes.
missed a day. Never was late. I'm literally late twice in 16 years.
That's what I'm saying. I've argued many times that you should get your heavyweight status, that you should have a sticker on your driver's license right next to the donor sticker that says heavyweight. So when you get pulled over and blow .08 or .09, it's Bonaducci.
Yeah, by the way, a point.
That's breakfast.
A .08 is just like a joke. That's not
that's
fair.
That's a thimble.
God, I just
full of Bacardi for you.
Of residuals, I constantly blow an 08.
Yes, you break a sweat, .08 comes out of your forehead. That's the thing. Whereas my mom, if my mom has a cap of Chardonnay, her dress is up over her head.
No,
she's on the table.
I know your mom.
Yes. How dare you attack my mother? Yes, it's true.
I didn't attack. She
no,
said fine.
She gave me a table dance that time. We're over at Thirsties in Van Nuys. It was a different era.
Yeah, it was a different time. It was the 80s.
We're from the valley. It's
By
what
the
people
way,
did.
I heard you talking to Wendt. Nothing was before crabs.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
You were pre a bunch of diseases and you're all good. But if you're talking about backpackers in Europe,
yeah, That's
Krabs
true.
Krabs is almost mandatory with those chicks.
Yeah, I said pre-AIDS, and then once in a while I like to piggyback Krabs in on AIDS, you know, see if people will go with it. But
by
you're
the
right.
way, he has no idea how lucky he is that he never did it with backpacking chicks.
Yeah.
A backpacking girl implies I don't get to shower very often.
No.
That's why I'm backpacking in the mountains.
I know, and if you do, I don't want to get crass here, but if you do the Bush math.
Right.
You got backpackers. You have Europeans.
Yeah.
1974. Oh, my God.
No,
that's a thicket.
You're talking she's got buckwheat between
her
knees.
Yes. You're lucky if you could get paid her there. I don't know if anyone's ever done that math before, but it just keeps going.
No, all backpacker chicks are out of bounds. Yeah, there's no two ways about
that's
that.
A good point. And, you know, someone should sue Madison Avenue for how they depict female backpackers in commercials. Always the hot Swedish chick with the blonde braids, the Svenska flicka, looking for directions. She's lost, wearing the lederhosen. And
somebody picks her up in the Audi.
Right.
It just doesn't work like that.
No, you get the dyke and the Red Wings.
I do, actually.
Yeah, she's going to kill you out there. Have sex with your lifeless corpse.
Bonaducci drinking the Red Bull, by the
yes.
way. Is that really necessary?
No, it's not necessary.
Good point.
You know, I just didn't have an 8-ball with me, so I broke out the Red Bull.
Well, that brings us to an interesting point, which is I think I saw every single episode of Breaking Bonaducci.
Thank you.
Me too. It was
last
awesome.
Year. Hard not to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been compared favorably to a train wreck, but it's just hard not to watch.
I will tell you this, though, because I'm the executive producer, and people would come up to me and say, your television show is really hard to watch. It's like, boy, am I doing the right thing making television that's hard to watch?
No,
yeah.
It was hard not to watch.
Well, let's call it compelling. It was definitely one of these things where if it happened to your right, you would turn your head that direction and then cover one eye.
Right. Absolutely.
But you would still turn your head and watch.
You'd watch. Absolutely.
And I watched every episode. Now, you're sober now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Now, of course, it seemed like many of the episodes were fueled by substance in the first season. And so it begs the question, well, what do you do your second season?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you're not a funny, entertaining guy anyway, but how do you top that or do you try?
You do try. You do try. The thing is that in the first couple of episodes, somebody said something to offend me and I don't need to be wasted to get violent.
Right.
I mean, I'm just, you know what it is? It's that it's my nature to be violent anyway, plus I'm really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that combination can sometimes make you explode. And then I thought, I don't want to do this again this year. I don't want to be this guy. So I really checked my behavior at the door and refused to do that. But I also had to find some way to bleed all over this television show without losing my temper. And I think I've been fairly successful at that. But a couple of ideas I had that I thought were really good VH1 shot down.
Really?
Yeah.
I just
got the news that they shot this down this morning.
Hmm.
I'm on kind of, it happened kind of naturally. I didn't want to behave this way. And mm-hmm. my wife said, that, you know, I go to church and this is this. So I started to go to church with her. And it became a very sedate kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading my wife's Bible. I'm reading the Bible. And I realize, dude, some of these people are badass, and they do a lot of stuff with their faith that really hurts.
Sure.
So I had this great idea to test my faith by being hung by meat hooks.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that on, like,
I have
Discovery
seen
or something?
Yeah, I have seen that before.
So I pitched to VH1. I said, I got this great idea. I'm going to test my faith by hanging from meat hooks.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't allow it.
I also rented a movie called Meat Hook over the weekend. Worst gay porn.
Really?
Worst gay porn I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
you don't want to see that.
And I've declared many times that there's no such thing as a bad gay porn. This was it. Right.
Not funny, funny queer.
So meat hooks, they reject
it.
What are you talking about? Hang from meat hooks.
Where you actually pierce your skin.
Through the back and then lift you up on a pulley.
Ugh. Well, here's the thing, Danny. We've discussed this
Mostly I just wanted to see if I could do it. I made it up about these spiritual reasons. I just want to see if I could do it.
You have a thrill-seeking gene. Which is the alcoholic gene, right? You have the alcoholic gene.
There's a difference between, because I do have, you're absolutely right, I do have a thrill-seeking gene, but I also have a can-I-take-it gene.
Right.
And that's where I wanted to go with this. I just wanted to see if I could
do
it.
And there's a sort of interesting and yet-to-be-determined offshoot of sobriety, which is, you don't do the booze anymore, but instead you do other behaviors right. that could actually get you killed faster than the booze.
Speaking of the devil,
think about
I just had a steel plate put in this arm that's all full of screws. This one's got wire all through that hand. That you're exactly right. What happened was I thought, well, I'm not drunk. I guess I can ride this motorcycle as fast as it will go.
Right.
I was mistaken.
It is interesting. And again, I worked next to Dr. Drew for many years, so I got an ass full of this stuff and an honorary degree in addiction medicine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People get sober. Or actually, they don't get sober. They stop the booze.
Right.
They stop the coke. They stop whatever. They don't actually do the program. They just stop doing whatever they're doing. There's still a ton of energy in them. And that energy can get directed toward internet porn. It can get directed toward gambling, motorcycle riding, whatever. You wind up in the hospital or in the morgue a lot faster.
I was just told this was a whole thing from my wife. She just had me throw out all my pornography. I know.
Well, you can pick up the phone and call the ace man.
I said, listen to me.
Throw it out.
I said, listen to me. You don't want me to throw out the porn because then there's going to be needs that I have that you're going to have to fill all the time.
That's
right.
We
already saw this on the show. She wasn't fulfilling some needs.
Do not take the tire swing out of the gorilla cage.
Yeah.
He's going to go after the zookeeper.
The poor woman. It's like smoking now.
Yes. Yes.
The poor woman. And and the thing is, I'm being a jerk about it, too. I'm not just like when I really, really want to. Mm. It's like even if I just think I can. Then I do, just to teach her that
there's a payback element.
Yeah, absolutely.
She'll be begging for that porn.
You know she will.
That's
you know
right.
She will.
She'll be chasing the garbage truck down the street,
sakes,
screaming,
honey, please
in her
stop.
Bathrobe. Yes. Yeah, I'd let you have all. You know what? I would get you a. I don't know if like Vermont teddy bear comes up with porn or anything. You would get a gift basket. If we were together, I'd give you a basket of porn every Wednesday.
Do you know what I just bought her? It was $115. The rabbit. Have you ever seen the rabbit?
Yeah.
I've heard about these.
Oh
things.
My yes. God! It's crazy. It's
$150.
$115. But yeah, it's
$115.
Like the
I was
top
working
of
at shipping and handling.
The top of it looks like a man's thingamabobber.
Right.
The middle hole shaft is filled with giant ball bearings that spin.
Mm-hmm.
And then further down, there's a thing that looks like an aardvark that vibrates.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole piece of machinery.
And it runs off a diesel or what's it? 220?
You have to pull start.
Oh, it's got a pull start.
It's like the lawn guy, man.
Yeah. Hey, tell Manuel to turn that leaf blower up. No, it's just the old lady. She's got the aardvark. Wow, it's a whole Noah's Ark in your life. Deb?
Yes.
You big fan of Danny?
Oh, my God. Tell him it's know-it-all, Deb. I love that man.
Hey,
I
Deb.
I miss him.
How are you? I'm extraordinarily well, thank you. How are you?
I am extraordinarily well, and I am pleased to tell you that I discovered the Adam Carolla Show because I could no longer listen to the other show without you on there.
Well, let me take this opportunity to say, good for you, smart call.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean to say that I made that show, but it sucks now.
Yeah, well,
oh
you do the math,
she's
right.
She's so narcissistic that you're already narcissistic and self-absorbed when you're pregnant. So when you put the two together, it's not even bearable.
How did, well, my wife is now pregnant with twins, by the way.
Oh, congratulations, man. That's great.
Thank you. Yes, yes. I look at it as her holding two hostages. So that's really what it is. Now it's I got to get up and get everything. Well, whoever's holding whoever hostage, the point is I'm the one who has to negotiate with everything. Hey, Deb.
Yes.
Yeah, keep listening to the show, would you? Until Danny starts doing his own morning radio again, then you switch over to him.
Well, just give Danny a big hug for me, okay?
I already did it, but now I'm going to finish him with a reach around.
Now that he knows I own the rabbit, he's like a nub.
That's true. With the rabbit, you don't really need much more, I suppose.
Thanks, Deb.
Yes.
And so how do you feel about the wife being pregnant with twins? Are you scared? Or is it a hassle?
You know, and maybe we share some common ground here. I realize that my instincts in life are probably not the best.
Right.
You know,
I agree with you.
Felt that way about marriage. I felt that way about a family. You know, I would like to watch TiVo with my pants down and drink red wine and, you know, live alone in a castle and, shoot number two pencils into my cork ceiling all day and wear Kleenex boxes for shoes. You know,
like
I really, the Howard, every time they talk about poor Howard Hughes, it's locked like, up in his Vegas room, doing all his bidding from a telephone, watching hours of TV every day, having the same meal carted in, I think, that lucky son of a bitch.
I know, he had it made.
Collecting his urine. What a life. I don't feel sorry for this guy at all. He was a genius. So I realize, though, I realize my instincts aren't good, and sometimes, and this is a piece of advice I'd like to give to everybody. You're good at morning radio. You're good at punching guys in the face. You're good at going fast on motorcycles, or maybe not.
I'm not that good
at that. The point is you're good at certain things, but your instincts might not be the greatest, and especially when it comes to intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I got married, and I'm happier now.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes. And I think I'm going to feel the same way when the twins come.
Okay. I am by far much happier now since I love being married.
Yeah. But and the kids. What about the kids?
The kids are fat. They're the love of my life. They're
right.
Fabulous.
Now, did you think that before you had them?
I didn't care.
You didn't care, right.
I don't do anything at my house.
Right.
I've yet to change a diaper.
I think women need to sort of bring men to intimacy and they need to sort of convert them. Yep. Otherwise, we'll be punished by our own poor instincts.
This is what happened to me. I was on the radio in Chicago doing nights. Mm-hmm. And my wife called in and said, are you sitting down? Which I thought was stupid. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'm sitting down. She goes, I'm pregnant. And I was a little pause, and I went, well, congratulations.
Right.
And she hung up and didn't speak to me for days because I said congratulations instead of, like, setting off fireworks. Like,
right.
You're pregnant, lady. I'm not pregnant.
Sure.
And apparently that's a big deal. But I wouldn't do it. I would never. If it was up to me to help populate the earth, it would be a barren desert.
Well,
I would not do it.
The earth probably would have sent you a basket, by the way, for not bringing a lot of little Bonaduce's into the world.
But would you do it? Would you have people living inside you?
No, I would not. But I can tell you this. I would definitely have it down to about 4 or 5 months. Men would have worked this out, by the way, ladies. You guys have been at 9 months for 2 billion years. We would have had it down to a long weekend by now. Over and done. Let's move. Let's go.
Right.
Let's streamline it. It's like a car. Turn of the century, went 18 miles an hour. Now, 218 miles an hour.
I can't drink for the entire weekend.
No boozing, no butts, no what?
Forget it. If I can't smoke and drink, I am not having a baby.
Yes, we're going.
Nothing but busing, baby.
We're going C-section, day 5.
Yeah.
Let's go. Put him in the incubator until he's in college.
He's
we'll
a
be
little
fine.
Small. It's no big deal. He'll outgrow it.
A learning disability, schmerning disability. Who doesn't have one these days?
I know. If you're not dyslexic, you have ADD. You know you do.
Yes, little blob and little mass of cells. Come on.
I hate to admit it, but I'm so with you.
The blob on the left looks got your eye. All right, Danny Bonaduce in studio. We'll take a break. We'll do a little more with him. I told you, Brusco, we don't need to prep for this kid. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Danny Bonaduce in the studio.
Thank you.
Breaking Bonaduce, currently in production, season 2. I enjoyed watching the show with my wife, saying I would look at her about every 10 minutes and go, see?
See? Oh,
you see?
I did that for so many couples.
Yeah. I'm an ogre. Look at this guy. Are you kidding me? Do you see what you could have? You look at that. That's what you...
I did that for so many couples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. You could have married that guy.
No, you were the antidote to the a-hole who sends the bouquet to the workplace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the opposite. That's our nemesis. The guy where, you know what Sharon got today at work? What? Larry sent her. Why? No. Just because.
I swear to God, this is completely true.
Yeah,
you are
just because.
I go to the same florist all the time, mm-hmm. and I walk in the door, and the florist looks at me and goes, how sorry are you? And I go, 300. He says, all right. And then I swear, the second I walk in, how sorry are you? 100, no big deal.
Yeah.
My boyfriend developed a joke about, like, hey, it was his birthday. I'm like, hey, you want me to get you a mirror, write a Foo Fighters song on it?
Dude, that I'm was still a worst, pissed about that.
That was a bad... I see where her heart was in it, but, man, that was a bad, bad, bad gift.
She doesn't even know the friggin' song.
I know.
Was the stupidest gift ever.
It was terrible.
Now, the show, because Danny and I had spoke before about this, it was originally conceived as a, you were going to have sort of a dinner party.
It was
party.
Called Rock and Roll Dinner Party.
This is the part that's most bizarre about this whole tale, is how it was conceived or it was originally
pitched.
It would
look something like this. There'd be a bunch of people, except we'd all be rock, they'd all be rock stars. Right. I got the idea from a newspaper article that said Mick Jagger pulled up to a nightclub in his Mercedes. And I thought, who taught Mick Jagger to drive?
Right.
I didn't think he could drive. He drove a car all by himself. I wonder if he can play Pictionary.
Right.
So I came up with the idea for Rock and Roll Dinner Party. And what happened was, my wife was figuring out all these cool things, too, because the dinner party was one element of the show.
Right.
And I said to VH1, just send the cameras, I'll be fascinating.
Right.
And I meant it. I thought, you know, you send the cameras to my house, I'll just be fascinating. So the cameras come to my house, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, my God, I'm so not fascinating. What do I do? So I excused myself, and I went to this bar, and I wasn't going to get drunk. I was going to drink and figure out something fascinating to do, but drunk is what happened.
Right.
So I went back home, and a cameraman made some joke about me not being fascinating, and I asked him if I thought this was fascinating.
Whacked him one.
Yeah. And then everybody quit.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just stopped the show and said, okay, we got to settle this lawsuit, and this is a big deal, and Bonaducci's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently there was a meeting that said, you know, this guy's crazy enough that we should film him.
Wow.
And that's what happened. They redid the show, forgot the dinner party, and just kept the cameras on me, and I think I delivered.
That's exactly how Inside the Actor Studio began. Punched out.
You know what's
I think
funny?
A grip, but same, Lipton punched a grip.
I won the Harvard the Hasty Pudding Man of the Year Award.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, do you know why?
Why?
Because the New York Times, about a little dumpy-ass reality show, said Danny Bonaducci, for better or worse, has changed the face of television forever.
Yeah. Like I said, compelling television, and again, that whole thing, watch it with your wife.
Yeah.
See how I can
just
be, baby?
Just how I'm not that guy.
Well, now that you aren't on the booze and drugs anymore, is life just seem like a terrible drag to you now? Must be boring.
I feel like this is bad that I'm going to tell you this.
Go.
Okay.
What happened?
The first time I flip out, they say you have to go take a drug test right now.
The first time you flip out during the second season.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a crew in my house. There's like 10 people over.
Mm-hmm.
This is so bad.
Now, good.
There's all these people over. I get up from the table, into my car with a camera crew, go to the laboratory, go in the bathroom, take the test, come back clean as a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Between the time they said take one and the time I got there, I figured out how to rig it.
Really? And by the way, I want to know how that works, but just talk about, these guys should get some sort of hazardous duty pay.
They should.
I mean, could you imagine, you're going to be working on a show, what is it, number one single, that Lisa Loeb show? No, you're with Bonaducci. Oh, Christ. Are you high? Are you kidding? I got to go watch him get effed up and punch me?
By the way, it's not a completely sanitary thing, but all you have to do is have a Clorox bleach on your finger.
Ah.
And when you fill the specimen jar, just dip it in and you're clean.
Hopefully Barry Bonds and company are listening.
So you were not clean.
I'm not saying that.
Well, we're doing the unclean math.
I'm just saying that I was a little nervous, and who knows how long stuff stays in your system.
We may have eaten a muffin with poppy seeds
exactly,
or something.
Exactly, and gotten a false positive for heroin. Don't think I didn't really think about that.
Well, now the last time I saw you was about 4 or 5 months ago, and you were clean.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm going to just do the sobriety math here, which is before you started taping
right.
the second season. So sometime between now and then, and you're sober now.
No.
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 No, between now and then.
Because here's what happened. I went to the hospital. I had this terrible accident on the bike and took all sorts of prescription drugs
yeah.
that I was allowed to take, and I took them appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go and you take a drug test and it comes back that you've got all these things, and you go, well, here's my prescription for this, and I broke my... It just sounded like crap. I just didn't want to take a chance.
Mm.
So then, on my own, with no crew, I went and took one, and it turned out I was clean.
All right.
Yeah.
With the bleach finger.
No, the bleach finger was for the crew.
Oh, I see. Right.
Right after that, I went because I really need to know how long these things stayed. Because the accident was months ago. I just didn't really know how long because I had never taken those kinds
of
drugs
before. Let me ask you a question that may have no answer, but do you believe, you're a student of the mind, as am I, do you believe that there's a point where you could do something, maybe not volitionally, but subconsciously, to hurt yourself, to injure yourself in order to get the pain medication from the doctor?
No, because I can just go get medication anytime I want, anywhere I want.
But that would be a conscious admittance of I'm going to get high.
I'm going to go score drugs. I'm going to go score drugs.
This is a way to remain sober, sort of technically, and feed yourself just a little bit.
I don't know, but I do know people who do that. You know who does that allegedly, but I've read it 100 times? Adam Rich.
Oh, really?
He can dislocate his shoulder.
From eight is enough?
Yeah. And he would go up to emergency rooms, dislocate his shoulder, and go in and get Vicodin.
What do you mean? You mean subconsciously, right?
Would I do something?
Subconsciously go and get into a motorcycle accident so that...
Yes.
The problem is, doctors are real serious about Schedule 3 controlled substances.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to go show a serious wound. You can't go, hey, I fell down and bruised my arm.
I mean on a level that you're not aware of. You know?
I think it's possible. I could see if it got... to the point where I wanted them that bad, yet was trying to control my sobriety, wanted to be able to look at my wife. You know, by the way, I have drug tests at home.
Oh, you do?
All over the house, absolutely. Because I don't, the fact that I'm telling the truth does not mean I should be trusted.
Right.
I've lied to my wife for 15 years. Every day, I lied to my wife for 15 years. So now I'm really sober, but I do something weird. I demand to take a drug test right then and there, because I'm not going to have that hanging over my head in decision-making process.
I originally tried to beat our pregnancy test with the twins with a little bleach on my pinky. But said I had 120 Asian kids is how it came out. My wife immediately got suspicious. It's bad when the kids smell like Clorox. Amy?
It just shows they're clean.
Yeah. Amy?
Hey, good morning.
What's happening?
Good morning, Amy.
Hey, I just wanted to say how much I loved season one, and I can't wait for season two.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I love Gretchen.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I wanted to know if you guys are still seeing your therapist.
Actually, we are. Not only are we seeing our therapist on a regular basis, but if you would like to meet Gretchen, again, I'm so glad I can remember to get this plug in.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is playing tonight with her band, the Mudflaps, at the Hard Rock Cafe at the Beverly Center.
So you can go down there tonight.
I'll be down there. And the problem is, if you remember season one?
Yes.
I punched the lead singer of that band in the face.
Yeah. He was, he made some comment during rehearsal or something.
No,
what happened?
This guy, my wife has a bad back, and one of the band members was massaging it.
Oh, that's
and
right.
They took a picture with a camera phone and emailed it to me thinking it was funny.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't punch him. I smacked him. I hit him over
there. I remember that. It was very uncomfortable. And speaking of your shrink... That poor bastard. I would have had you in a shark cage. I would have handled you like Hannibal Lecter.
Well,
I would have had you brought in on a refrigerator dolly. That poor guy seemed a little queer to me. But but the other thing that seemed queer about it is he was just sitting there while you were screaming at him hi the whole time.
Right.
I mean, that guy had huevos.
Yeah, he really did. But the last time I had a real issue with him, like on the first couple of episodes of this season, and I got up. And he said, I want you to respect my personal boundaries.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing the growling thing that I do. And I got right in his face. I said, you want boundaries? Take them from me, tough guy.
That's why the shark cage. Please enter the cage.
So then we have this whole thing about personal safety, or he's quitting the show. And then VH1 says, if he quits the show of your violence, then we're going to cancel the show.
Yeah.
So I had to respect his personal
boundaries. I get the impression, listening to you talk about the first season, you seem to delight in your madness.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
You love it. But did you? No one's happier to have mental trouble.
You know what I think of myself? I think of myself as Van Gogh if he was funny.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's more, because I'm a lunatic, there's more to me than just some funny guy on the radio.
And last time we spoke, you said you had not seen any of the episodes from season one.
Well, now I've seen, there's one episode where my wife has these strippers over,
mm-hmm.
which I did not appreciate.
Right.
I actually said the line that I like best is, if I get to that hotel and there's some guy wearing less than a turtleneck, I'm killing somebody.
Yeah, I remember that.
I loved that.
Your buddy's trying to talk you out of
my
it.
My buddy goes, where am I going? I go, jail, if I'm any guess.
There's nothing worse than you in the back of a limo getting juiced up and heading to the T-bar, and one of your buddies wants to turn the thing around and go bust up the bachelorette party.
Did you see me jump? I jumped in that car at like 20,
and
then got in the car with some stranger and some Mustang and took off. It rocked. Breaking Bottiglieri's the best show on television.
Well, so says the New York Times.
Yep.
So says the Hasty Puddings Award.
Damn right.
Yes.
And so says Bottiglieri.
And so says Bottiglieri. Well, you should quote yourself
in the
next trade papers. All right, I want to thank Danny Bottiglieri for coming in. then Breaking Bonaducci, name of the show. Now, when is it? Is it coming out over the summer?
Over the summer,
season?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll look forward to that.
Dude, and thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate it. I'm a big
My
fan
pleasure.
Of yours.
My pleasure, and see Gretchen tonight over at the Hard Rock?
Yeah, thank you, at the Beverly Center. Thank you very much.
I'm trying to get you laid, buddy. We'll be back after this.
Okay.
Angie's got a problem with booze, like in Vegas when she showed me her coos. She's got a nice rack. When drunk, she'll grab your sack. And now her husband's singing the Trampy Lush Wife Blues.
Wow, Trampy Lush Wife.
Rusk is a guy we can't stand. His bitching is getting out of hand. He eats like a pig. His jokes we don't dig. Thank God he's about to be canned.
Wow. I think that's it.
Your hairline's becoming recessive. Your jokes about birds are excessive. Stop making me cry. I hope your fish die. You're acting real passive-aggressive.
Mmm. Mmm. One of my favorites, Rachel Perry. Oh,
thank you. I actually preferred one of my original Damashek ones from actual St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I've heard what you've had to offer, and to me, that was your strongest offering yesterday.
All right. I'll defer to you in that department.
Yeah. Right? Do not look this gift horse in the mouth. We were doing limericks. We have been doing limericks. I have a sack here. I reach into the sack. I pull out a name. Thanks, Brian. I pull out a name, and then we all work on limericks during the commercial break. We have 6-7 minutes or so, and then we put the pens down. We go around the room in no particular order, and we see who did the best job on who. Now, so far, we did producer Angie. I think we've done Dave Damashek. Yep. Did we do Bruska?
Yeah.
So all those names have been removed from the sack.
That's correct.
All right. I'm going to pull the next name out. We cannot start working on them yet, but what you do with your mind, well, I can't stop that. So here we go. Let's see. Phone screener Brian.
Great.
Oh. Phone screener Brian. We got a lot to work with there, everybody.
What rhymes with bald?
Bald, I would guess a limited sex life. $8, $9 an hour. What do you
I meant to ask you about that. Yeah. We need a raise up to about 9 or 10 if you can get a chance.
All right, just as long as we don't get to double digits with you. Phone screener Brian is in studio because we got a punching bag machine from Hooters, and this thing is no toy. This is $6,000 worth of arcade game. They were generous enough to give it to us. We're trying to get Danny to whack the thing, but the guy had rebar in both arms, and we didn't want him to puncture the back. So this basically looks like a slightly oversized speed bag, about the size of Bruska's lesbian head. He's not in the room, so I can speak freely. It's on a little bit of a stick that comes down about 18 inches, and you whack it, and then there's a digital thing that tells you how many pounds of pressure you hit the thing with. Now, so far, Bruska did 482. Damashek, a disappointing, that's it in the background, by the way. Damashek, a disappointing 293. I've seen him do better.
I did 550.
Damashek with a sweet stroke, by the way.
Sweet stroke.
What?
But impotent. And Big Tad, so far, the clubhouse leader with 506. So, phone screen of Brian.
Right, here we go.
Want to give it a shot? Now, again, as I was describing, this is sort of like a driving competition in golf.
Perhaps
instincts are to rear back and try to crush the ball, but you could easily shank it into the woods that way. I say smooth, steady stroke might win you the long ball competition here.
It's also worth noting that Brian versus Lynch is a matchup of the two greatest weaklings within these four walls.
Yes, this is Gumby versus the guy from Davy and Goliath in the claymated world.
I don't know, Brian.
Ooh.
Not bad. Punches like a woman.
Oh, please. If he beats...
he's easily going to beat
293.
He did.
Yeah. Well, that woman just kicked your ass. 314, everybody.
I missed
That's
it.
A man.
Bruska, reset the thing for us, please. I know. You didn't... Again, what you did is you reared back and tried to crush the ball 325, and you shanked it. That's right. All. Now it is time for Lynch. Mike Lynch, everybody. I'm going to write that down. All right. He crushed
That's
it.
That's a good
now.
Shot. Pretty good, yeah.
Brian, what did you get, by the way?
Blair, wow.
314?
314.
Wow. 314, 492.
Lynch.
Holy for smokes. Lynch.
Is that better than me?
Nah, you got 482, yeah.
The rage of a sissy.
No.
Unbelievable.
A lot of childhood beatings coming out in anger.
Wow, that was nice.
That's
nice.
Like when it's like when Peter Brady knocked out the bully who was pushing around Cindy. Remember that one? Yeah.
That's right. They called her Baby talk, baby talk. It's a wonder you can walk. And he closed his eyes and he reared back and he punched that thing and he got a 492.
Which, by the way, as I've said before, I think that's a terrible message to send to the nerds of the world. If you're a child and you're watching that, you think like, hey, I'm geeky and this guy's bullying me. I learned from TV that I should just stand up to him and punch him.
Yes.
Yeah, guess what? You do that in the real world, the bully beats the holy bejesus out of
him. It really is.
You will bleed like you've never bled before.
Yes, we've sent a horrible, dangerous message to the nerds of the world, which is bullies are nothing but smoke and mirrors. Once you stand up to them, they crumble like marzipan. Yeah. Now you get a huge ass kicking is what happens.
Yeah. Lynch, go give Tad a push. See yeah, what
go,
he does
no,
back.
Go catch up to Bonaducci in the parking lot. tug on his pigtails, would you? All right, we will take ourselves a break. Again, phone screener Brian.
Embarrassment.
Wouldn't call him heavy-handed. Yeah. Phone screener Brian, everybody, is the subject of our next limerick. And also, we have Jason Reitman coming in studio. Thank you for smoking. Rave reviews about this new movie. We'll talk to him. News, sports, all coming up.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Jason Reitman coming in here and a couple of you. He's the director of Thank You for Smoking. In limited release, did the most at per screen, I believe. Did like $50-something thousand per screen last weekend. That's how they measure it, not only the gross, but how many theaters was it in? You know, because if a movie makes $20 million over the weekend and was in 500 theaters versus 3,000 theaters, obviously it's doing better than another one that's comparable. In the gross, it's making more per screen. So evidently this was the box office leader per screen and is going into a wide release. But we'll talk to Jason about that when he comes in. Now, it is time to do the limericks. I reached into my bag of tricks. I pulled out phone screener Brian, and I'm trying to think of the order. Big Tad, since you went last yesterday.
Yes.
Well, phone screener Brian, if I may say, first of all, he pointed out his baldness, which will be cashed in on, but also he just recently hit the punching bag in the and hit like a wussy.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Beating you by a full 18 points. But
I missed it.
No kidding.
Excuses.
Yeah, look, when you hit a 293, you don't have to proclaim that you've missed it. We'll do the math. No, or you're missing an arm.
I feel shame.
Yeah. All right, so.
I took the initiative, like you said yesterday, and I wrote a limerick.
All right, here we go.
There's a phone screener named Brian who has to hear all of the callers crying. He comes up with some bits that are cool and legit. He says he has a girlfriend, but we know he's lying.
All right.
Nice.
Solid.
Not
all
bad.
Right.
Yeah. Not bad.
Score that. Now, do we do the retard curve, or do I just grade him like everyone else?
Come on.
Retard.
All right.
No. It's the Special Olympics.
An 11.
Special limericks.
Special
Come
limericks.
Come on.
All right, Tad, that was a nice effort.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go. Why not?
Ruska.
All right. Phone screener Brian is a huge nerd. His penis is smaller than a bird. Punches like a sissy, acts like a missy, and his breath always smells like a turd. Word.
Wow.
Ouch.
He tacked a caboose onto that one. It's like getting the extra olive in the martini. Didn't expect it, but what a delight.
And might I point out, that's the first time Brusca's made a limerick that actually is a limerick.
I was going with the, in the past, not rhyming in the last line.
As a joke, that
would be the joke, but I kept getting fours and fives in my score.
Right.
So
well,
I figured I might as well
and
make it.
And there was no toe
limerick
in there, too.
I got away from the toe.
I've given you quite a considerable raise in the score department from your previous fours and fives. Also, now my only beef is the penis size to a bird, but it really would be to a bird's. You know what I'm saying?
But
I think we did the math. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen his penis.
I was just trying to keep
only
it with
you
nerd bird.
Well, I got to tell you, yeah.
I lost half a point.
That's good. You did a good job. Rachel, how say you?
I don't know. I got an interesting image of Brian's penis. That's all.
All right. Well, close your eyes and deliver the goods.
Oh, so, wait. You want my limerick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Brian is our phone screener. His head looks like a wiener. But don't get me wrong, even though he looks like a dong, he has a pleasant demeanor.
Okay. So it ended on a sort of nice note.
Yeah. I'm not... I believe that was an ally limerick, not a war. I'm not a battle limerick.
Right. And perhaps when it's time and I draw your name out of the sack, and Brian's going to give you a limerick back to you. He'll remember your kindness.
What can I say bad about Brian? I like him. He's a nice...
Diabolical.
I mean, you can't say
he's,
anything.
He's good people.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy.
He's all a right. loser.
Mike, how say you? Yeah.
Brian's the man who screens calls. He's a big girl who likes to play with dolls. He can't punch worth a damn. He smells like old Spam, and he's balder than billiard balls.
Mmm. Little hiccup at the end, but man, I knew where you were going. Sorry, though. There have to be a deduction for that.
Yeah.
All right, Damashek.
Brian's a guy about whom girls don't give a dang. His right hand is the only thing he can bang. His head is shinier than a pearl, and he punches like a handicapped girl. He's the ugly Sinead O'Connor with a wang.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I would say that Brian's actually prettier than Sinead O'Connor, but...
Very difficult. Right. Very difficult. Certainly in the Lord's eyes. Bill?
That was tough to follow.
Gay, pre-op, board-op, Bill?
But here we go.
Yes.
Phone screener Brian is the show's know-it-all. He's weaselly and creepy and skinny and bald. He may look like he's 50, playing craps, looking shifty, and he's the one who hangs up on all of you when you call.
That was good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was solid, too. Wow. Weasley. It's really tough, and evidently people are getting good at this game because everyone has stepped it up quite a bit.
We only have 5 minutes to do these.
Where's
I understand,
time?
Jamie. I got to read these commercial breaks in the middle of these things. You know, I have work to do. Jamie.
Yeah.
You have a limerick?
Wait, is this Bishop's girlfriend?
This is his girlfriend.
Oh, really?
He don't have a girlfriend.
No, I'm real. I promise.
She lives out of town.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. You guys, you have sex with him?
You know, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Wow. You are precious.
Wow.
I tell you what, I'm going to put you in my prayers tonight. I like
you.
When people get to come in. It's unclear when you leave, too. Well, I'll put you in my prayers tonight, but what about Wednesday? You be out by then, or do I have to just sort of keep you? And if I keep collecting everyone eventually, is it going to get too crowded? 4 or 5 hours before I go to bed, I got to start kneeling? All right, you're in my prayers tonight. Go ahead, Jamie.
Go ahead with the limerick?
Sure.
Okay. There once was a famous call screener. I could tell you some stories about his wiener. He's skinny and white and might lose a fight, but I've never met anyone keener.
Wow.
Thanks, Jamie.
That's beautiful. So do you really exist?
I really do exist.
All right. And where do you live? Are you in town?
No, I'm in Phoenix right now. I'm coming out to visit this weekend, though.
You're coming out?
Yeah.
Why? Because you heard he was coming out to Phoenix? That's how she does it. Jack's confused at the airport every time.
Oh, did we get our signals?
Well, next year.
I missed him again.
I'll see you 2 years from now, then.
Right.
All right. And you'll be coming out to stay with him.
Yes, this weekend.
All right. And what do you do over there in Phoenix?
You know, I do a whole lot of nothing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do you think about Brian? You think there's a marriage in the future?
I don't know. That's difficult to say right now.
Mm-hmm. You want to wait till he gets up to $9 an hour before you put your hooks into him?
Yeah.
He's overqualified. There's no doubt about that. He's certainly intelligent. He contributes a ton to the show. He really should be doing more.
I agree completely.
It's too bad I'm going to have to hold him down. All right, Jamie. Well, you guys have a good time.
Thanks.
All right. That was sweet. Couple more quick ones. Paul?
Hey, this is Paul from Phoenix. I couldn't get through yesterday for damage checks, but I've got one for Brian.
All right.
Okay. Let me tell you about a phone screener named Brian. At his job, he ain't really trying. But what does it take? He could be a total flake. I could do that job while frying.
Mm-hmm. Frying like taking drugs.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Solid. Yeah. Next time
now,
you can't...
Do you want to hear Damashek's from yesterday, too?
I'd rather
sure,
not.
Sure. Anyone
hey, by the way, Mo Damashek wrote one, too, and could not get through either. My mother. She did.
There's a producer named Dave Damashek. He's a physical and mental wreck. He's fat here and there. He's losing his hair. And to Rachel, he's a pain in the neck.
Nice.
I like that.
My wife gave me her limerick about me when I got home yesterday.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Well, the only thing wrong with it is she worked the word complain in 3 times. Literally.
Well, that's probably the amount of complaining that you do.
Yeah, I know. And certainly in her ear. And, you know, I sat down on the sofa and she said, you want to hear my... No. By the way, I've learned, just say yes, because I hear the, do you want to hear my version of fill in the blank? I always say no, and then the next thing out of whoever's mouth is that.
It's nice also that you say she's exhausted all the time and can't really do anything, but it was good that she could muster the strength to put you down.
Can't hop in the SUV and head down the hill to pick up the Chinese takeout on a Friday night, but can pen limericks until the cows come home.
The old man's off making the bacon.
That's right. Hank?
Hello.
You have a limerick?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
A droopy dog again.
What did he call me?
I think he called you droopy dog.
That makes me mad.
Go ahead, Droopy.
There was. Now I'm a little bit upset.
That's all right. I have him more.
That makes me mad.
I have him more as the neighbor from Beavis and Butthead. But go ahead. Let's go.
There once was a phone screener, Brian, who could screen a damn phone without trying. There's not much to say except he's bald and he's gay, but he's nondescript also, no lying.
All right. I like the bald and the gay part.
Thank you.
Definitely not gay, by the way. I think we established that.
Thank you, Droopy Dog. All right, now it is time for the awards to be given. Well, I'll just use the staff here. Tad, nice effort, buddy.
Thank you.
You bounced back quite nicely from yesterday, but I'm not grading on a curve. I'm being honest with you.
It's cool. I'm just proud of myself that I made one up finally.
Yeah. Well, don't overdo it.
Okay.
And give me some coffee. 7.3.
Wow.
Thank solid. You. It was solid.
Thank you.
Brusca. Brusca is like a horse that never finished better than sixth its entire career, and then all of a sudden ran the race of his life. 9.3 to Brusca.
Thank you.
Rachel, solid. You've done better, but solid. 8.1.
Thank you.
Mike, the hiccup on the cue ball, I think, at the end is what cost you. 7.9. Damashek, what can I say? 9.4. You just nosed out. You just nosed out, Brusca.
The lesbian and his garanimals.
Lesbian sports guy use Wang twice in his limerick?
No,
I didn't. Bang. Oh, Bang and Wang. Okay.
He did a nice job. What it was is you had a great day and he just had an even better day.
Brusca got something wrong?
Brusca.
Shocking.
Brusca. And Bill. Pre-op, gay board op, Bill. 9.2, solid, but just not enough to... Just nipped by Brusco, came in second. Not a bad job. All right, it is now time to do the news and then the sports. First, the news with Rachel Perry.
The wife of a Tennessee minister found shot to death in his parsonage is now a suspect in his death. A woman who went missing when she was 14, has been found after 10 years. Mm-hmm. And Zacharias Moussaoui's roommate testified in his trial this week. We got a hold of the tape of the testimony. It was being aired in the courtroom via a videotape, a taped.
So this is his old roommate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have the tape, so if you want to hear some of that.
Yeah, let's hear that.
My name is Hussein Al-Atas. I was a roommate with Moussaoui in Oklahoma University in 2001. Go Sooners. He was a rude man and an undesirable roommate. He tried to recruit me for jihad in Chechnya. We did not get along. I come home and he has eaten all of my honey bunches of oats. They were clearly marked with my name in marker on masking tape. He still has my copy of Frampton Comes Alive. That is my favorite album. He has taken it.
Hmm. Bad roommate. Mm-hmm. His roommate was a bad guy, but I would argue maybe a worse roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it, or is there any more?
He leaves his keys in the door, uses his fingers in my peanut butter, and my towel smells of ass. One time, I spill one drop of Sunny D on his prayer rug, he goes ballistic. He declares a fatwa on my gopher snake.
Wow.
Moussaoui's a real jerk.
Like I said, you know, he's no friend of the United States, but he's a bad roommate as well. Oh, wait, there's more?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Hear that.
I filled the fridge with St. Pauli Girl, and he puts in Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh.
He should spend less time thinking about jihad and more time thinking about sink full of dish.
Yeah, I had one of those guys.
Is beat off stain on my futon.
Oh, no, that's you know, I've all had those roommates. That's one thing, they're plotting to take down the World Trade Center, but you bring home the Anchor Steam or the Heineken or the St. Pauli girl, and this guy's dropping off the Lucky Lager and getting into your prime stuff.
Creep.
Yeah, all over your futon. It's a bad guy.
Terrible.
Man. That it? We done with him? That's enough. Yeah.
Randy Quaid is apparently suing Brokeback Mountain. Because he thinks that they used him, like they brought him into the movie, you know, by saying, oh, it's just an art picture and nobody's making any money off this, and it's just, you know, nobody's getting paid, and right. He just thought they wanted big talent, and now, like, the movie, I think it's up to $160 million. He's suing for like $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I see his point, but at the same time, like, dude, you were in just an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Which should be payment enough, but the guy's a working actor. I kind of see his point.
Yeah.
They bring in, they say it's just an art house thing, and the next thing you know, they're over $100 million.
You would think that they would put that in the contract, the original contract, like, okay, if it does end up getting more money.
Well, that's why I always say when I'm doing a movie like that, you gotta catch me in the back end. Come on, where's the high hat?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I need some back end. I need to see a little back end. You know what I mean? The back end?
I'll give you some back end. I got K-Fed's new song.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Posted on his MySpace site. If you want to, I don't know, we've got a clip, but then we've got the full song, which actually has, like, all this other stuff. He goes off about In Touch magazine and, like, the tabloids and stuff. Do you want to just start playing it and I'll talk over it and
let
it go?
Sure,
sure. All right, just start playing it. We'll just keep talking.
I got to warn you, though. I might not be able to help myself from dancing. All right. Oh, there we go.
Crazy. This is for the haters, dude.
For the haters. So you know.
That's the way to start.
Only.
Yeah.
So basically, for everyone, this is a song for everyone, is what he's saying.
Well, we all said he couldn't crap out a horrible rhyme, and I guess we were wrong. I mean, we're right. Here's how you know you're old. It all sounds the same to me. No, it doesn't sound any worse than anything else.
He just rhymed something with Bryant Gumbel, in case you missed that.
Maybe we'll get him in the limerick competition next.
Ooh, I wonder if we could get him.
Turn his considerable talents toward Brusca. See if he can rhyme fat lesbian. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's it. It's a very original premise for a rap song. He's going to straighten out all the haters out there. Folks that took shots at him through the tabloids and the people that were talking trash. Now this is his turn. Listen up. Yeah. Awesome. I feel sorry for the poor black folk after pretending like they're in his posse and going along with it and digging the new beats. They must. Yeah.
You magazine mother who can all kiss a Us Weekly, I'll shout every one of you bitches out. All you fake. I love my kids, mother.
Nice.
I love my wife too. You know what you can do? Grab your socks.
I don't know what sort of an insult "grab your socks" is supposed to be, but he means it.
This is why
he means it.
This is why you can't put a recording studio inside your house, because you just get high. And you get in your bathrobe and your mucklucks and you stumble over 4 a.m. and you lay stuff down, baked out of your mind. And then you announce this is the greatest stuff ever because the three guys that are with you laying it down are just as effed up as you are. You have to go somewhere to a recording studio. You have to book it. You have to pay for it. And you have to do it during daylight hours. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll just keep cramping this stuff out.
And the fact that he has no discernible talent isn't helping anything either.
That could be a hindrance, yes. That can hold you. That can slow you down.
I think our next task should try to be to make a song that is better. Any one of us could probably make a song that was better than K-Fed.
I could squeeze real hard and probably pop something out just about now.
I'll get you a drum machine. You can sit at home with it on the
all
weekend.
Right. I'll give you a clue. It's going to smell like pinto beans and Pepsi, but it'll be better.
quickly, just want to talk about the new movies coming out this weekend. Inside Man, that's with Denzel, Clive Owen, and Jodie Foster. Then there's Stay Alive, a little horror movie coming out. And, of course, Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector. And I just want to keep you on watch. New info about Snakes on a Plane. They're reshooting for 5 days. because usually it's when a movie's bad. No, this one, they're so excited about it now.
I saw a blurb on that on like Entertainment Tonight or something last night.
This is the movie that we're championing now.
Yes.
And I've decided that, and we are going to be all over it, talking about it every day. We're on Snakes on a Plane Watch Day 2. The movie comes out August 18th. Apparently, they're reshooting to change it from a PG-13 rating to an R rating.
Yeah, they want to move it up to an R.
Yes.
Is that translate into more bucks at the box office?
I don't know, but maybe now Samuel L. will be calling curse words out at Snakes.
That'd
That's all
nice.
We can hope for.
Yes.
I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
What a night of college hoops it was last night. UCLA made one of the biggest comebacks in NCAA history. Down 17 at one point to Gonzaga. They scored the last 9 points to pull it out. Very exciting. They did it on this play.
And a steal! Bomba! Inside! The freshman up! Oh, and they go in front! Romeo! Last chance to dance!
Unbelievable.
Oh, what a game!
I thought the national broadcaster was supposed to be more objective than that. No,
yeah.
But very exciting. It was a great game. Of course, devastated. Adam Morrison, Gonzaga superstar with the goofy mustache, spoke in solemn words after the game.
Yeah, that's the way the game works. So if you don't execute down the stretch, you pay for it. And we just had a few missteps. You got to take your hat off to UCLA.
However, his little mustache was able to see the silver lining in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here were his words after the game.
Who gives a crap about March Madness? We're going to the NBA! Gonna make that dollar bills, y'all! Word! Look out, ladies! Here we come!
So the mustache is looking forward.
Wow.
Not back.
Yeah.
Maybe Adam should take a page from the mustache. Texas knocked off West Virginia with a last-second three. LSU upset number one seed Duke. And the Memphis Tigers whipped Bradley. Four more games tonight, best of which ought to be Boston College and one seed Villanova. Plus, you've got Washington and UConn, Florida and Georgetown. And as I mentioned earlier, maybe the worst matchup in Sweet 16 history, Wichita State and George Mason. I think four or five people around the country should be tuned in to watch this one. Our nation's group of pro basketball players played some games last night. Big news for Phoenix Suns. Amari Stoudemire, their dynamite forward, played his first game of the season. He scored 20 in the whipping of Portland. Meantime, the Clips lost in Memphis. Barry Bonds, you remember him? He's planning on suing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's the Incredible Hulk theme. I don't know what that would have to do. Oh, I see. Because he's a monster.
Yes.
Artificially created monster. They're planning on suing the authors of that book, Game of Shadows, that alleges that he was jealous of Mark McGwire, which led him to doing the juice.
He was pursued by a newspaper guy, too. You know, it was a writer who pursued David Banner, by
right.
the way. So many parallels.
The links, yes.
It's just in town long enough to get a gig, never long enough for love. My whole thing would be just enough time for some love, and then I gotta split.
Get out. Yeah, make it a quick one, but then
just a little oral, and I'm gone, baby.
Have to be with the rose petals.
No,
leading up the
I'm
stairs.
On the road. No, don't light any candles.
Right.
Not no time for love.
Right.
Just enough time for a little bit of love.
Yes. Yes.
Don't make me angry.
But the best thing about
Keep the
Bonds,
door shut. I'll use the mail slot.
Here's the good thing. Here's the good thing about Bonds.
No time for love.
They're not suing because it's libel. They're not saying that anything in the book is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that that they want to get some loot from the book. So obviously they're not even denying that he did that. They're just saying they want some loot. That's true.
Wow.
And since it is tournament time, I did want to do one thing here. I want to give you my names that I consider to be the finest in the tournament this season. The best names. Not the best players, mind you.
Sure.
Just the names I enjoy the best.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's easy to predict. I would say George Washington's Pops Mensa Bonzu. Pops Mensa Bonzu. Who wouldn't pick that one out? That's a gimme.
He's a guy who sings at a pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Plays that upright piano,
and
throws the dough, and throws the lyrics.
And you've got another easy one. Duke has Lee Melchione.
I like that one a lot. Indiana University, my alma mater. Marco Killingsworth. What a great name.
Wow.
Well, you couldn't do better than that, unless maybe you change Marco to Victor.
Yeah.
Victor Killingsworth.
Yeah, once he got loose, there'd have to guy named like Justice Berg would have to take him down or something.
If they haven't, if the people writing the script for the next 007 picture haven't figured out the name for the bad guy yet, go with Victor Killingsworth.
Yeah.
I also like Wisconsin Milwaukee's Mark Pankratz. Sounds like something you'd get at a a local breakfast place, right? Give me the Pankratz. It's their own special creation, you know?
It also sounds like something you might pick up abroad, too. Mm. What happened? I was walking around barefoot. May have stepped in a little fecal matter and got the Pankratz. It's all right. I'm on antibiotics.
Also like Kentucky's Rajon Rondo. That's a good one. South Alabama has Leandro Buboltz.
Wow.
And my favorite one, the award winner, best name in the NCAA tournament, from UAB, Wen Makubu.
Wow.
Wen Makubu. Good for you, sir. I don't know how good you are at basketball, but you can't do better than that name.
I feel sorry for the brothers on the team, you know, that have to deal with all these guys from Chechnya flowing into the college now. Having to call everyone cuz because I can't do Bacabuccio and all this crap. What a nightmare.
Wen Makubu, huh?
Makubu!
Dave Damashek's number one sport.
Oh, what if Chichu and Makubu got together and crapped out of kid?
It's too much for my mind to even comprehend.
Well, not me. We will take ourselves a little break. Jason Reitman is coming into studio. Thank you for smoking. Name of his movie. I've been to his house. That's a little $70 million shack up in up north. We'll talk to him about that. Also, I still got to punch the Hooters punch machine. Much, much more to get to all after this. Ever hear this one before, Jason?
If I had ever had any fears about getting out of my father's shadow, you've you really helped me with that. Thank you.
Well, you could do a lot worse than Ivan Reitman. Jason Reitman in studio. Thank you for smoking. Rave reviews all around the country. And even though it was only in five cities?
It was actually only in three cities and five theaters.
Five theaters. Oh, so like a couple out here in L.A. And we'll
New
do
York
the math.
And D.C.
Right. Again, did the best per screen average, right? Last weekend?
Yeah, it's actually top 50 of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, we blew the doors off.
Wow. Is Papa proud, or do you think maybe he's a little jealous?
He's over the moon.
Evolution didn't do so good, you know.
He has nothing to be jealous about.
Yeah. Well, he can be jealous in his $75 million mansion up in Montecito.
Oh, did it just go up $5 million in value in the last 5 minutes?
I told him 70 during the commercial, but I added on five. I'm sure it goes up a few million every 10 or 15 minutes. Jesus Christ. Did you grow up in that place?
No, I didn't. I grew up in
Beverly Hills. Oh, poor dear.
Yeah, it was a fairly normal home compared to that house.
Yeah. Let me just do a little explaining, because I went there with Kimmel a few times about 5 years ago. The offices, your dad's offices, are above the house, his house, your house. By the way, if my dad owned that house, I would kill him. Moving immediately.
You know, I grew up on the same street as the Menendez brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were literally up the block from me.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would go Menendez on his ass and move right into that place. It has an amphitheater, everybody. Now, of course, it has a theater, but it has an outdoor amphitheater, does it not?
Yeah, he didn't build that, though, I don't think.
No, that was
part of his agenda.
Yes, but you could do Shakespeare there.
Yeah, if you needed to. That kind of thing.
There's a lake in the middle. How many acres? Come on. 35?
12.
That's it?
Yeah, sorry to disappoint.
Wow. You need a golf cart to get to the golf carts. That's how big it is. That's how big it is. Actually, a golf cart needs to go to the golf cart corral. Yeah, and then the second house, which is the office, which is up the hill, was the old Shah of Iran's sister's place or something. Help me with this, with the gold toilets. Please.
Yeah, I believe it was the Shah of Iran's daughter's house.
Yeah. done up circa 1979.
Yeah, I was so, actually disappointed when they retrofitted that place because I loved
how they? I didn't see it. When did they do it?
As soon as they bought it, there used to be fully mirrored rooms and crazy gold tiled bathrooms.
Yeah, I gotta say what you will about that part of the world, but impeccable taste. Putting pubes on statues, impeccable. Great taste. Understated, one might say. Yeah, some cramping into a golden, diamond-encrusted, clam-shaped toilet. Perfect. Impeccable in the taste department. Put the mirrors on the ceilings, get the gold leaf going everywhere.
Weird that they Perfect. Share that. They share their interior decorating sense with the hip-hop gang.
It is.
It's weird.
Well, I think it's certain cultures want to let you know if they have money, and then there are other folks that want to live it down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? If you're a Reitman, you live it down. You go get yourself some cargo pants at Old Navy and you keep it real. But if you're the sister of the Shah of Iran, you know, you take the rolls, you dip it in gold. And there you have it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think my father wears cargo pants.
Oh, really?
No, not yeah. sure the day you met him. But
yeah, I don't remember much of the man other than him yelling at me and Jimmy in his office constantly.
Oh, that's not true. My
He's
father's
a wicked,
very
wicked
nice.
Man. Well, nice to you.
Well,
you're the young
true.
Prodigy. We're just the F-ups from the valley.
Well, then, Ace, you must be thrilled that because Jason has made a picture superior to his old man's. Yes,
I think so.
I think
so. I
haven't even seen the movie. What are you talking about?
Well, listen, I saw Evolution. It's got to be better than that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ivan, if you're listening. Oh, that's
he's
right.
Made
he
some
may
of
be
the,
listening.
He's made
right?
some of the greatest comedies of all time.
I know he's a legend.
Evolution. Made
he's
Animal House, Stripes, Ghostbusters. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, if he were sitting here, we would be bad-mouthing you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
it. I see. That's very ballsy of you.
So what was it like? I guess everything just seems normal, whatever hand you get dealt. But, I mean, your dad, how old? Well, let's see. You're not very old. You're in your early 20s, right?
I'm 28.
28. Wow. All right. And, boy, but no mileage on him. Look at him. Look
Where
at
were
him.
You again, Ace,
he's
at
never
28?
Been in the
what
sun.
What were you doing?
At 28, I was living in La Crescenta. I was working, teaching boxing at a gym, and then swinging a hammer in the afternoons, doing a little building and trying to get car insurance.
That's basically what I've been doing for the last few years.
No, it's rough. Now, so your dad, so Animal House comes out, and then how old are you when Ghostbusters?
7
hits?
Years old.
And so it must be a magical fairy tale for you.
You know, I didn't really. You know, the big difference was on Halloween. A few of my friends and I all dressed up as Ghostbusters. Only I had a real Ghostbuster gun.
It actually worked.
Yeah.
So how did we'll leave you alone with Pops.
No. This is fun. I'm enjoying myself.
Clearly. let's focus on Thank You for Smoking. This is an achievement, like I said. I've not seen it. I've just heard praise from everybody I trust who has seen it, and I intend on seeing it this weekend. Little controversy. Wasn't there some Katie Holmes sex scene that they say was cut out of Sundance or something like that?
What happened was at the Sundance Film Festival, there's a scene with Katie and Aaron. It's a sex scene. It accidentally got cut out by a projectionist due to a very technical, boring reason.
Mm.
But 2 days later, the LA Times printed an article saying, was it the Scientologists or the Mormons who cut it out?
Right.
And then it just caught fire. By the following day, I was answering the question, is it true that Tom Cruise called you personally
right.
to have you cut out the footage? And it just took fire. And the thing is, people
And it's
start,
back in. I mean, it never was
in,
out.
Yeah, it was back in the same week, but what happened was in that week, a lot of journalists started writing about how steamy this sex scene was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when in reality, it's very tame. They start talking about Katie Holmes being nude in it and that it went on for minutes and it was very steamy.
Mm-hmm.
So now when people see the film, they still think it was cut out because
right.
the actual scene is so tame.
It can't live up. To why it was cut out, allegedly.
I went on a college tour for the last 2 months showing this film around the country, and the second or third question I was always asked was some guy in the front raising his hand going, I thought I was going to get to see Katie Holmes' boobs. That
right.
was the most asked question.
Right. I got some movies to pitch you, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Because you're white hot.
Yeah. Everyone's gaga for the
yes,
picture.
Yes, they are.
Every reviewer across the land, gaga.
He's white hot, and I'm going to pitch you a couple of my own efforts.
I'm very excited about
it. And
this.
Then please, do not tune out. Be open to these things.
No,
this
I
could
understand.
Be a windfall for both of us. Also, some guy taught you to snowboards on the phone. Mike?
Yeah.
You taught Jason a snowboard?
I gave him his first snowboard lesson at Snowmass in Colorado.
Oh, God.
Yeah, how was he?
He didn't pick it up. I worked with him, but it just, I don't know, it didn't click. Yeah. But he was only 10 years old at the time, I think.
Thanks.
All right.
That was an exciting call.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're not all winners.
And now Jason, has enough power to have you wiped clean from the face of the earth.
It would have been better if I took a pass at him at 10 years old. Then it would have been an interesting call.
Yeah. Or you had some footage of him and Katie Holmes or something. But, yes, it was. That was flat. Well, don't worry. We'll make up for it because I'm pitching movies after this. Jason Reitman in studio. Thank you for smoking. Name of his movie. We'll be right back with my pitches after this.
Quagmire. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Jason Reitman in studio. Sorry, I got to take a break from talking. Yacking Jason's ear off during the break about my movie pitches. Thank you for smoking. The name of his latest film going now. It's going into wide release this weekend, or when does it go into
this
the
weekend?
Big
we're
going to
be in, this weekend. We're going to be in 10 cities, and we'll be wide by April 7th.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a certain strategy to building it slowly, keeping the buzz alive, rather than just it did good enough last weekend? I think just to go nationwide, going 5,000 theaters. Is there a strategy to sort of the slow burn?
Yeah, well, you know, we're distributed by Fox Searchlight, which distributed the films Sideways and Garden State Napoleon, and this is how you do one of these films.
Right.
If it's a unique comedy, you can't just hit 3,000 screens on day one. You have to make people aware of the film slowly.
Get a little buzz going.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of buzz and unique, I'd like to pitch to you one of my ideas.
Well, this is very exciting because, you know, I actually started an independent comedy company to make movies, and we announced this morning that we're going to have a deal with Fox Searchlight. So
wow.
You're actually now pitching to a producer with a deal at a real studio as of this morning.
Wow.
Oh, congratulations.
This would seem to be Ace's lucky day, but in fact, I think you're about to find out, Jason, this is your lucky day.
Yeah.
When you hear these gems.
I have an open slate, so I'm ready to fill it.
All right. Dig. That's how I start every pitch.
Well done.
Dig. This one's called See You in Hell. Now, here's the story. It's the year.
I like it already.
It's 20 years into the future, maybe 30 years in the future. There's a diabolical terrorist who makes a bin Laden look like Cindy Brady, taking over the world. There's nothing we can do to deal with this new diabolical tactic. The only way we can stop this is to go back and talk to some of the most evil people throughout history. Mm-hmm. Well, if we could only have a meeting with Hitler, perhaps a Stalin, or one of these other famed mass murders.
Till of the Hun. Right?
Till of the Hun. How can we get... Well, as it turns out, we need to send our hero to hell to find these people. He's going to hell. Now, here's the deal. There's a porthole back, but you only get 2 days in hell. And then the porthole closes, and then you can't escape. Now, getting him to hell is easy. We just hook him up to the suicide machine, and as long as he actually physically is the one that flips the switch, then he goes to hell because technically he committed suicide, which lands you in hell. And there's like Benedictine monks that guard the porthole out. Only one person gets out, and it's only every 500 years. So now he goes down to hell, and of course in hell he sees everybody. Maybe a few surprise folks. Maybe runs into like Jacques Cousteau. It's like, what the?
Who knew? What did you do?
I banged my stepsister. All right. Well, what are you going to do? You find out, right. There's some new faces in there, but you got to find the Hitlers. You got to find, yes, the Stalins and these men of the world to sit down with them. Along the way, love is found.
I was about to ask.
Beautiful woman committed suicide at 19. High on drugs.
There's a lot of suicide in this movie.
Well,
so
we'll
far.
Work it out. We'll work it out. Distraught over a boyfriend, a beautiful young woman, been in hell. Maybe she's from a different time. Maybe it's been in there for 300-400 years. But she's in hell, and they find love. Now, the only way, only one person can leave. Does our hero leave with the information to thwart the terrorist? Or does he pass the information along to the young, beautiful woman who's never really lived? She's just a kid. Eternity in hell. And send her out through the porthole. Interesting.
But I don't know what the answer is. The ending is that by giving her by giving the gift. No, the gift of you go through the porthole. He's redeemed himself.
Yes,
and
that's
now he ascends to heaven.
The selfless act. Right. Yes, has gotten him out of hell too.
I'd like to think of Jean-Claude Van Damme in the lead role too. By the way,
I was about to ask. So Van Damme is your hero.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe instead of...
Jacques Cousteau's going to play himself.
Okay. Instead of killing himself, could they have to find one of the most evil people on Earth to go to hell and find that the only way to also reason...
Oh, find a badass.
They got to find a badass to go to hell.
Yeah.
So he's already committed
it's
a lot of crimes.
Sort of escape from New York kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Nice. All right. Well, let's do it. I'll green light it.
Okay, perfect.
I liked your pitch. I'm going with it.
I don't think that's how it works.
Is that
I think
how he works? Has to... All right, Jason.
No, I like it.
Give it some thought.
I think that's very strong.
Speaking of strong, I have to punch this this bag before we go to break. So keep talking, you two. Go ahead and gush. Go ahead, admire.
I'm just trying to think of what the poster might be for that movie.
But you like the idea of Van Damme, yes? Wouldn't he be ideal in this? He goes, he squares off with Mussolini in one scene. Hitler dispatches the Nazis.
I think it's his time.
Here goes Adam hitting the Ace Corolla story.
Boxing trainer. Here he goes.
Awesome. Adam trains himself too. He talks to himself.
Looks like he brought the hammer. It's climbing over 3, over 4, five.
Adam.
Stretching towards 6. No, 572.
That's
the ace man,
well
number done. One
yikes.
In the clubhouse.
Wow, with a bullet. Take that, Bonaducci. All right. Listen, Jason, come back. I have many other pitches.
I can't wait to hear that.
All right, come back. I have no pitches. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. In a heartbeat.
All right, kick your dad in the nuts for me. Please. What a waste of time. All right, now I'm going to kiss some off-the-air ass on you, too, if you don't mind.
I look forward to it.
Hold still. Jason Reitman, everyone, thank you for smoking. Go out and see it. Wider release this week, and then going bigger after that. Danny Bonaducci, George Wendt, Jonathan Chichoo.
Chee-hoo!
Of course, Jason Reitman again. Thank you for not smoking.
And, for smoking.
Thank you for smoking. Sorry, they crossed out the knot. Matt Robinson, the piercing fanatic, too, who called in early. We'll take a little extendo weekend break, and we'll see you guys Monday. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.